resources. And I want to say thank you all very, very much for listening in today. It's a beautiful day out there. And remember, we change tomorrow by changing today, and we have to, because tomorrow really does matter. Tell a friend, and stay tuned now for the Peter B. Collins Show, coming up next after the CBS News.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Texas Supreme Court has ruled the children taken from the polygamist compound in El Dorado should be returned to their parents.
I think that's an excellent ruling. I'm delighted that the Texas Supreme Court has applied the rule of law.
Lisa Graybill, legal director at the Texas ACLU. Still, while the kids may be going home soon, the state will still be watching, protecting them somehow. CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
The ruling charts a middle path between the complete separation of child and parent ordered by the trial court and the total reunion ordered by the appellate court last Thursday, and it's clear now from the high court ruling that the child protective folks in Texas still may be permitted to keep an eye on those children and to impose certain limitations upon their mothers and the sect.
The court also made it clear if the state has evidence of child abuse, removal to foster care could be called for. Commodities regulators are investigating possible price manipulation of oil futures during the historic run-up.
We are taking a very broad and wide look at what is occurring in the crude markets.
Gregory Mosek is the director of enforcement. Word of that investigation is seen as one of the reasons prices started down today. Crude oil fell more than $4 a barrel to below 127. Oil analyst John Kilduff at MF Global.
The private research a lot of us get to see are showing upwards of 10% demand declines for gasoline nationally. So we are in enduring the breaking point at the pump for consumers of all stripes.
He says as fast as prices soared to 135, oil could go back down to 100 a barrel just as quickly. The Dow today up 52 points, NASDAQ gained 21. The number of Army suicides went up again last year.
Among active duty soldiers, 115 suicides, up from 102 the previous year and 85 the year before that. Deployments abroad, mainly in Iraq, became longer, affecting what Army psychiatrist Colonel Elspeth Ritchie discussed recently.
The primary reasons for suicides is failed intimate relationships, failed marriages.
Also an increase in PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, often from bloodshed that soldiers see in war zones. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
The Pentagon also points out civilian suicides in the same age groups are higher than the suicide rate in the Army, despite the fact soldiers are called to war. Former White House Press Secretary Scott McClellan, doing the interview circuit on his new Kiss and Tell book, says he was misled on the Valerie Plame CIA leak case.
I do know that I was knowingly misled by two senior White House staffers, two colleagues of mine, who I trusted their word. I specifically asked them, were you involved in this, in the leaking of Valerie Plame's identity in any way? And they unequivocally told me, no.
On the run-up to war, McClellan tells Katie Couric for the CBS Evening News, it was not lies, but the way Washington works that led to war, the climate of constantly in campaign mode. This is CBS News.
Are we into the Olympics? Are you kidding? This is America. We high-five after meetings. We applaud when delayed planes land. We clap at the end of movies. I never got that, but anyway, you better believe we're going to go nuts for our Olympic athletes. Get U.S. Olympic Team Banking, only at Bank of America. You'll get the U.S. Olympic Team logo on your checks, check card, credit card, and statements. And we'll make a donation to the team with every check card or credit card purchase you make. Plus, with your U.S. Olympic Team Visa Rewards credit card, you'll earn points for cash, airline tickets, and cool Olympic merchandise. So go ahead and cheer when the fire department gets a cat out of a tree. Or some guy eats 37 hot dogs at the county fair. Let's show the Olympic team the same kind of spirit. This is America. Don't you belong at Bank of America? Bank of Opportunity. Member FDIC.
Barack Obama's medical records indicate he is in good physical shape.
Obama's physician for 21 years says the likely Democratic nominee is in excellent health. Dr. David Shiner says Obama jogs regularly, often 3 miles at a clip. His blood pressure is 90 over 60, and his pulse is 60 beats a minute. Shiner says the results of Obama's latest physical examination in January were completely normal.
CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein in Washington. That the U.S. needs more oil and gas and the capacity to refine it is not in contention. There's been a plan to drill for methane in the coal beds of the Powder River Basin in Wyoming. Now the plan is on hold because the Bureau of Land Management says if there is more than one drill per 500 acres, they need to know how to protect a bird called the sage grouse. The grouse is not on the government's protection list. Not yet, anyway. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
The world calls us small business owners, but really,
there's nothing small about us. We have big ideas.
We see huge potential. We have
larger-than-life expectations, which is why we
and millions of other business owners use Visa Business.
Because we do business with a great big world and no other card.
No other card.
No other card is more accepted by it.
Visa Business, used for big ideas. Visit visa.com/smallbusiness.
When peanuts are kettle roasted, they're extra crunchy, like Planters kettle roasted peanuts. Here to explain, kettle expert Mountain John.
Well, first, you get that kettle nice and hot, and then you stir them peanuts in there real good like.
Well, there you have it, folks. Kettle
and
roasted.
And then what you do is you add a crunchy possum, what? Two crunchy armadillo, ooh, a crunchy skunk, and a rare albino three-toed jackalope. Yeah,
wow.
Them real crunchy.
Okay, John, thanks. I think we'll just stick with the peanuts for now. Extra crunchy kettle roasted peanuts, new from Planters.
Mmm.
Planters, instinctively good.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to a fresh edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming your way from San Francisco, up and down the left coast, from Monterey all the way to Seattle. As usual, lots to talk about, great people to talk with. Your phone calls are always welcome. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 puts you through. On our program today, we'll kick it off with a conversation about Scott McClellan. He found the truth, and it wasn't in the Bush White House. Later this hour, Daniel Shulman from the Mother Jones Washington Bureau will join us. We'll talk about the recent listing of the polar bear as a threatened species and what the resource extractors are going to do about it. Lawsuits. You can count on that. About an hour from now, Scott Dick will join us. He retired from the Army at the rank of Major, and he helps me understand the culture of the military and veterans. We're going to talk about the McClellan comments and the overall propaganda campaign launched by the White House. We'll also talk about how the rest of the world has agreed not to use cluster bombs, but the U.S., China, and a couple of other nations have said, well, not us. Other people can ban those nasty weapons, but not us. And we also have lots to talk about in our free speech zone in the third and final hour, as usual. So be prepared for that. 888-5-PETER-B. Or you can email me, peter@peterbcollins.com. We're standing by to hook up with Faz Shakir. He's the research director at the Center for American Progress. And we'll excuse him if he's a little late today, because he and the team were in New York City last night accepting an award for thinkprogress.org. And they won in the best blog category. So we'll run that down for you when Faz joins us. And it is fascinating to see the reaction to Scott McClellan's book. On the one hand, we have the White House Bush loyalists who are closing ranks. It's so sad that Scott would turn and, abandon his loyalties to this president. And on the other hand, Scott McClellan indicted the media. for its failure to press him and before him Ari Fleischer for the truth about the propaganda campaign that sold us the war in Iraq. And what was fascinating for me in watching what I could last night, I reached a saturation point, is that nobody mentioned the story that we've been talking about for over 3 weeks now, a front page Sunday Times story about how the Pentagon managed the propaganda by inserting generals into the corporate media in this country. And that did not come up in the soul-searching and self-examination. Even by the network anchors, it was unusual that Katie Couric, Brian Williams, and I guess Charlie Gibson from ABC appeared together because they are promoting an upcoming telethon of some sort. I don't know all the details. At any rate, the three of them were sitting around talking, and it was only Katie Couric, who I consider to be the lightweight of that group, who acknowledged that, there was corporate pressure to go easy on the Bush administration, both before shock and awe and afterward. Faz Shakir joins us now. Faz, welcome to the program today.
Hey, Peter, apologize for being late.
Well, we understand because you were in New York last night.
That's right. I'm still trying to travel back to D.C., so it's been a little hectic today. But, yeah, it was quite an honor and quite a night for us because we were being awarded a journalism award by the Sidney Hillman Foundation.
That's right. We have an official drum roll here to honor you and the team. And you won in the category of Best Blog, and Henrik Hertzberg of The New Yorker presented your award. Is that all correct?
Yep, that's all right, yes. Uh-huh. I appreciate your drum roll for us. And it was a fun night. And, for us as a blog and people who do online communications, it's quite an honor to be recognized as a journalist because oftentimes we do feel that way because of the audience that we have.
Well, and because people like Karl Rove attack left-wing bloggers and link them to Scott McClellan.
Yes, that's right. And if I was Scott McClellan, I would feel honored to be likened to left-wing bloggers who are out there pursuing the truth and reporting it.
Well, I want people to go to thinkprogress.org and check out the photos here of you speaking. And I noticed you strategically placed Amanda Turkle in the middle there so you would appear to be 6'8".
Right. Yes. I guess I was looking gigantic, but I'm only 5'9".
And Faz, maybe it's my Mac here, but I tried to click on the videos from the acceptance speech that you gave and talk to your blogmaster. I couldn't get it to work.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. But I guess they're YouTube videos, so they should be working, but I'll check on that and see what the problem might be.
All right. Well, I want to play you a clip from the Today Show this morning where Scott McClellan appeared to flog his book. And I think he deserves a certain amount of flogging because we really need to establish why he has decided to tell us the truth now when he couldn't find the cojones to do it when it was most critical, when he was supposed to be serving the nation and he slavishly served the interests of the president and the White House agenda at our expense. And Faz, what is amazing here is in this exchange, he fingers the president for the outing of Valerie Plame. Let's listen to this.
When the first revelation came out that what I had been told by Karl Rove and Schroeder Libby, that they were in no way involved in the leaking of Valerie Plame's identity, which we now know is not true, and despite the fact that I went to the podium and said these people assured me they were not involved, I started to become a little more disillusioned.
Well, you say in the book it was my reputation crumbling away. So this, essentially, you're saying that they threw you under the bus?
Well, I guess that's one way to look at it. But the way I look at it, the way I look at it, I talk about this in the book. There's no one I'm harder on in the book, I don't think, than myself. For all the faults I might talk about in terms of others and the key personalities, and also talk about some of their good attributes as well. These are good, well-intentioned people, but like everybody, they have their own personal flaws. And I talk about my own flaws in the book as well, and I blame myself for putting myself in the position of going to the podium and passing along information that I did not know was false, but later learned that it was. And
are you talking specifically now about Rove and Libya? Are you talking about the war in Iraq?
Specifically right now I'm talking about the leak episode, the Valerie Plame leak episode. And I promised White House reporters at the time, during that time period, I said, someday when this is all done, my hands were tied. The White House counsel's office said, you know, you cannot discuss this when those revelations became known that they had been involved in the leak. And I said at the time, you know, someday I look forward to talking about what I know and about you know, my involvement in defending the White House in terms of the leak episode. And so I do this in the book. But the book is, that was kind of a launching off point for the book. But the book is much larger than that. It looks really at how things went off course.
Well, let me go back to that for a second, and then we'll look at the bigger picture. Because Karl Rove has responded to what you said. He says, this doesn't sound like the Scott McClellan I knew. This sounds like left-wing bloggers. And
there
the administration has come out and said that you're disgruntled, that you're just mad, because you got pushed out of a job. And this is your way of getting even, by writing this book.
Actually, disappointed is the word that I would use. I'm disappointed that things went so badly off track. Disappointed that we weren't able to come to Washington and change the tone.
You have to be more than disappointed if you're pushed out of a job.
Well, actually, I talk in the book about those last 10 months as I became increasingly disillusioned. And one of the most defining, two defining moments that caused me to become increasingly dismayed and disillusioned with the way things were going in Washington, D.C. One was the revelation that I had been assured, and Karl Rove and Scooter Libby both, I asked them point blank, were you involved in this in any way? Both assured me in unequivocal terms, no, we were not involved in this. And they even, Karl Rove even told the president, and the president and vice president directed me to go out there and also exonerate Scooter Libby on this. And that's when I went to Scooter and asked him the same question. But the other defining moment was in early April 2006, when I learned that the president had secretly declassified the national intelligence estimate on Iraq for the vice president and Scooter Libby to anonymously disclose to reporters. And we had been out there talking about how seriously the president took the selective leaking of classified information, and here we were learning that the president had authorized the very same thing we had criticized.
Did you talk to the president then and say, why are you doing this?
Actually, I did. I talked about the conversation we had. I walked onto Air Force One. It was right after an event we had down in the South. I believe it was North Carolina. And I walked onto Air Force One, and a reporter had yelled a question to the president, trying to ask him about this revelation that came out during the legal proceedings. And the revelation was that it was the president who had authorized or enabled Scooter Libby to go out there and talk about this information. And I told the president, that's what the reporter was asking about. He's saying that you yourself were the one that authorized the leaking of this information. And he said, yeah, I did. And I was kind of taken aback.
Bingo, right there. Yeah, I did. This is Scott McClellan saying the President of the United States, despite his public comments about how we're looking for the leaker and we want to get to the bottom of this, and if we find out who it is, they'll be dealt with. He was the originator, Faz, of this whole effort in by starting off declassifying the information about Valerie Plame so that Cheney and Rove and Libby could disseminate that. This is a real smoking gun, and I don't believe it appears in the book.
Witness for a lot of things that we already knew. But I think, you know, you were mentioning earlier that does he deserve a flogging? And I think he does for not having come out when he should have during the course. But now we've got to embrace him and use him as a tool to hold the administration accountable and make sure that their legacy is one of having been the worst president, not one of the worst, but the worst president for a whole variety of reasons. And now we've got the White House press secretary, a deep Bush insider for many years, confirming that the President of the United States has such disregard for the law, disregard for morality and ethics, and was so vindictive that he was willing to out CIA agents and lie about it.
Yeah. Well, Faz, those two items are not mutually exclusive. I'm very comfortable flogging Scott McClellan and then flogging the comments that he has made that are quite incriminating to his former colleagues.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I think, you know, we put out a report critical of him yesterday, noting all the times when he had been asked by the press whether President Bush had misled the nation into war. And one critical quote that we'd noted is that Scott McClellan at one point answered, well, the president is a straight shooter, quote unquote, straight shooter.
Right.
So he was always defending the administration line. And now, of course, he comes out and tells us that it was all a propaganda war.
We're going to take a break and continue with Faz Shakir in a moment. We'll talk more about Scott McClellan's book and his revelations. And if you have a question or comment, you can call me now, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. The Peter B. Collins Show.
News, commentary, and your phone calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be right here on 540 AM Radio, KRXA.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Our schools are in trouble. Healthcare is a mess. The economy is broken. I get it. But we can get California back on track. I'm Barbara Sprenger, and I'm running for state assembly because we can't send more politicians to Sacramento. I'm a leader in a group fighting foreign corporate control of our water, and we're winning. I was twice elected to our local school board, balancing budgets in tough times and seeing that kids didn't fall through the cracks. I started a green technology business, creating jobs with full health care benefits. And I was trained in making good public policy by Leon Panetta at the Panetta Institute. We can do a better job in California. We can grow our economy by investing in college education and green technology. But we need leaders who get it and who can get the job done. I'm Barbara Sprenger, and I'm ready to get the job done for all of us. I would be honored to have your vote in the Democratic primary on June 3rd. This message was paid for by my campaign, Sprenger 2008.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family. We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Neil Young didn't need the book from Scott McClellan to understand that the president lied us into this war in Iraq. But it is interesting to have further proof from an insider, somebody who was a loyal Bushie all the way back to the Texas years. And Faz Shakir, one of the things I noted, and you were out accepting an award last night, so you're excused if you didn't catch all the cable shout shows, here was a perfect opportunity for them to acknowledge the recent in-depth report from the New York Times about the way generals were inserted by Donald Rumsfeld into the American media to deliver his talking points and to shape the propaganda effort for domestic consumption. And that's flatly illegal, but the networks are so embarrassed by their collusion back in that period that only PBS has seen fit to report that to the American people. And I just think that they could have blamed that a little bit on Scott McClellan. and kind of sidestepped it, but they didn't even bring it up at all, to my knowledge.
No, I don't think they did, but I don't know if you noted this earlier, but the point made by CNN reporter Jessica Yellen, who said that when she was working at ABC at the time when the nation was being misled about the Iraq War, and she said that her producers at ABC were forcing her to take the Bush administration line, and that they didn't want to air critical information that would have gone against the administration line. And so that was an interesting and intriguing revelation about how the corporate media is operating.
And Katie Couric has admitted that she felt corporate pressure. Jeff Cohen, who was Phil Donahue's producer, and Phil Donahue himself have acknowledged that they got heavy pressure. If they had Michael Moore on, they had to have two conservatives, and that's not a joke about how big he is. and so we know the outlines of this story. It's just interesting to have an insider confirm it. And Faz, once again, we come up against this kind of Dick Cheney looking at the camera and saying, so? And so, where do we go with this? Scott McClellan's going to sell some books. He's never going to sit on a porch in a rocking chair in Texas and talk about the old days with George W. Bush. But is anything going to happen as a result of these revelations?
Congressman Robert Wexler has said that he's interested in calling Scott McClellan to appear before the House Judiciary Committee and talk about both the Iraq War and the propaganda campaign, and also the outing of Valerie Plame and who lied to him and how. So that's an interesting line of inquiry, and I think something that Congress should certainly look into. And if it does, I think it will perhaps produce even more evidence of criminal behavior.
Mm-hmm. But ultimately, they know that the Democrats won't seek impeachment, and
right,
therefore, they're going to get off scot-free, if you'll pardon that McClellan pun.
No, that's true. I think the ultimate long-lasting effect of Scott McClellan is, again, the legacy of truth, and that is all the people who are out there now coming out and informing the public about what really happened. We need to defend that. We need to piece that together. We need to make sure that the American public understands what's happened.
Yeah. Well, it is a fascinating episode, and it is interesting to see the corporate media folks get all excited about it, but they really draw a line around their own participation here, and someday maybe we'll see them explain that all to us.
Maybe on PBS.
Yeah, on PBS. All right, Faz, we'll have a safe trip back to Washington, and thanks for joining us as you're traveling.
Thank you, Peter.
All right, that's Faz Shakir. He's Research Director at the Center for American Progress. You can get their daily progress report. I get it in my email. All you have to do is log on to progressreport.org, give them your email address, and they'll send it along. And the companion website is thinkprogress.org. That is the interactive site blog that won the award from the Hillman Foundation in New York last night, and that's why Faz is still in transit back to Washington, D.C. And I have a new device here.
That was easy.
At the Peter B. Collins Show. Let's see if it works better this way.
That was easy.
It's this little button that says easy. It's a big red button here that's on my desk. And every time
that was easy,
we get through something easily, we'll cue him. Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. It was easy.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Make this the year you become personally acquainted with the May family and Jim's Restaurant at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.50 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
The Osgood File. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. A UN conference on Iraq has opened in Sweden near Stockholm. More than 500 delegates from dozens of countries attending. And the first speaker at the opening session, while claiming progress in the fight on terrorism and toward unity among Iraqis, did raise the subject of war reparations and other debt owed by Iraq to other countries. CBS News foreign affairs analyst Pamela Falk.
Iraq's Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki wants the world to forgive the nation's $67 billion debt, some of which dates to Saddam Hussein's government, and most of it was lent by the Sunni Arab countries.
More after this.
Some surprising facts about Advil PM. If annoying aches and pains are keeping you up, here's something you should know. Advil PM gives you a better night's sleep than Tylenol PM. You'll spend less time lying awake with annoying aches and pains and more time asleep compared to Tylenol PM. Are you surprised? Don't be, and switch to Advil PM for a better night's sleep. Use only as directed. Brands are trademarks of their respective owners.
The world calls us small business owners, but really,
there's nothing small about us. We have big ideas.
We see huge potential. We have
larger than life expectations, which is why we
and millions of other business owners use Visa Business.
Because we do business with a great big world and no other card.
No other card.
No other card is more accepted by it.
Visa Business, used for big ideas. Visit visa.com/small business.
Saddam Hussein was a Sunni. But the money that he borrowed from neighboring Sunni countries is now owed by a Shia-led Iraqi government. Pamela Falk.
To the disappointment of the Bush administration, the Sunni Arab states are not expected to make a significant contribution and were unpersuaded by a trip last month by Secretary of State Rice to forgive debt to a Shiite-led government with ties to Iran.
Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice.
Now that the security situation is improving, I would hope the international community would accelerate its efforts to help make Iraq a capable state.
Few nations other than Russia have committed to forgiving debt. The Saudis said they would, but haven't done so yet. Kuwait doesn't want to forgive reparations, insisting on compensation for damage from Iraq's invasion in 1990. But since everybody is represented there at the conference in Sweden, says Pamela Falk,
the hope is more to get the Sunnis and the Shia in the room together than to make any other tangible headway on Iraq's debt relief, which in and of itself will do little without reconciliation.
The conference comes as the U.S. military says violence in Iraq today is at its lowest level in more than 4 years. The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with 2 hours of talk radio all about our daily challenges, our fears, changes, crisis, addictions. Over 1,700 of them, can you believe it? Using the 12 steps, the law of attraction, whatever it takes. Join me Saturday afternoons 3 to 5 with my guests and we'll find solutions together. The Sheila Show, Saturday 3 to 5 on KRXA, brought to you by Benji's Princess Monterey Whale Watching Trips. Open daily on Old Fisherman's Wharf, Monterey.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Next chance you get, go hug a polar bear, will you?
They're a threatened species.
Well, there's a little something that's been freaking me. I read it in the news, I seen it on TV. It haunts me in the night and creeps me in the morning. A spooky little thing called global warming. It seems our indispensable amenities, like airspray, air conditioners, and SUVs, are causing big emissions, all of which are forming a spooky little thing called global warming. Fluorofluorocarbon strip away ozone. They can't seem to leave the rainforest alone. Our temperatures are rising and they've now deduced the vampires of progress have come on to rule.
And not only that, the polar ice cap is melting faster than anybody had predicted. Thank you, Dr. Elmo. That's his song about global warming from his Halloween collection. Elmo's the guy who trashed Christmas with Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, and, well, now he's working on Halloween, and who knows what'll be next. Maybe Arbor Day, I'm not sure. We're joined by Daniel Shulman, who is an associate editor of Mother Jones Magazine, based in Washington, D.C. And, Dan, welcome back to our program today.
Thank you. How are you, Peter?
I'm fine. Just a personal question before we begin about your story. Are you contributing to the Mother Jones baby boom?
No, not me, not yet.
Okay. As I, there was a blurb in the local paper here that your co-editors, Monica Bauerlein and Clara Jeffrey, are both in the process.
Well, Monica just had her son this winter, and Clara is about to have her child, I think, in another month or so.
Oh, okay. Well, that's happy news.
And that was among three or four other pregnancies that happened this year. So.
Yeah. High fertility there at the Mojo headquarters here in San Francisco.
Apparently.
Well, Dan, it was about 2 weeks ago that we finally saw a designation under the Endangered Species Act of the polar bear as a threatened species. And for people who aren't familiar, there are two stages of these declarations. Threatened is the lower one. Endangered is the more severe one. And you wrote a piece that was published just before the decision came down. And you, in this article, outline some of the reactions expected from those who are highly invested in drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. And it fascinates me because you're the only one I've seen who has reported this, that an African-American leader named Roy Innes, the longtime chairman of the Congress of Racial Equality, is apparently going to front a lawsuit against this decision. And how does that relate to, you know, fighting discrimination and seeking racial equality?
Well, basically, he calls it an issue of economic, quote-unquote, economic civil rights. He believes that if this listing had gone through, which it did, it could unleash quite a few lawsuits on a variety of grounds that could essentially bring the U.S. economy to a halt by basically challenging the placement of a power plant, regulating car emissions, maybe regulating land development. And we're talking about far away from the polar bear's natural habitat in the Arctic. We're talking all over the U.S. And basically his argument was that this would disproportionately affect poor people and minorities.
Isn't that a bit of a stretch?
It's a little bit of a stretch, and to be honest with you, this ruling threw them a curveball, because when the Interior Department made this listing, it was under quite a bit of pressure. And what they did was they tried to satisfy both the conservationists as well as these conservative activists that have been decrying this listing. And what the Interior Secretary ended up doing was saying he was going to issue, quote-unquote, administrative guidance, saying that this ruling could not be used as a backdoor approach to making climate change policy. So under this guidance, I'm not sure if the Congress of Racial Equality really would have a case at all. And, in fact, I haven't heard a peep out of them since this listing came through.
And Dan, I'm not expert on these Endangered Species Act certifications or lists that they have created, but how can the Department of Interior argue that this is not linked to global warming and to greenhouse gas emissions?
Well, basically, they're saying that, yes, the polar bear's habitat loss is linked to global warming, but it can't be tied to, the polar bear's fate can't be tied to emissions from a single power plant.
I see.
It can't be tied to the emissions from a single, you know, vehicle or something like that. And in that regard, they're not going to regulate greenhouse gas emissions at all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, this is very interesting, and as you point out in your article, Roy Innes and the Congress of Racial Equality have received a substantial amount of funding laundered through the Heartland Institute, and that money came from ExxonMobil. Now, they certainly have a direct interest in, I don't know that they have potential leases or other dibs on ANWR, but certainly as one of the few remaining multinational oil companies, they would be presumably quite interested in winning a franchise or part of the franchise to drill in the Arctic region. So this kind of, at least the linkage that you create here, kind of shows Roy Innes as a non-credible spokesperson on this matter.
Well, Exxon clearly has a dog in this fight. And, you know, over the years, Core has received funding on a yearly basis from Exxon, but they're just kind of one of a host of groups that has been on the receiving end of this funding. I mean, you know, it's interesting, too, that this lawsuit was first mentioned in an email from a fellow at the Western Business Roundtable, which is an industry group that represents companies like Shell and Marathon Oil. And he basically said, this is going to be part of our strategy going forward.
Mm-hmm.
This lawsuit, and they basically thought it would be quite effective to use this group to show the effect that this listing could have on the economy and minorities in particular.
Mm-hmm. Dan, we're getting a lot of static off your cell phone. I don't know if you're moving around or if there's anything you can do to try to stabilize it, but just wanted to let you know.
Let me try to do that.
You're kind of fading in and out. Now, I'm looking for this guy's first name, but his name is Sims, and you talk about him in the article. He is a former staff member to Dick Cheney, and he is representing the Western Business Roundtable now, and that group includes Shell, Marathon Oil,
right,
and the group formerly known as the American Petroleum Institute. Tell us a little more about Mr. Sims and then about the arguments he's making on this matter.
Well, Jim Sims is the president of the Western Business Roundtable. He was an advisor to that controversial energy task force that Dick Cheney headed up in the early years of the Bush administration. And he obviously, you know, he's an energy lobbyist, and the companies that he represents are essentially terrified that this listing is going to disrupt their business interests, not only in the kind of ANWR region, but all over the U.S. If lawsuits start cascading from this listing, which is what they believe it's going to do, although that hasn't seemed to have happened yet.
Mm-hmm. And so the email that you got a copy of is from Jim Sims, and in it, it describes the lawsuit expected to come from Roy Innes and Core.
Right.
That it will be central not only to the legal campaign that conservative groups plan to wage against the polar bear listing, but to their media offensive as well. And you quote from the email, "Our plaintiff's action will give us very high visibility, national media platform on day one." I love that choice of words. And it says that Fox Newsman Sean Hannity has committed to me that he will put our plaintiff in this issue front and center on his radio television shows when we launch. Isn't it nice to know when you can count on coverage?
Yeah, you know, and I've been kind of trying to monitor it and see if that did come to pass. But again, you know, Core never announced that it was going to file suit, I think because it realized that he didn't quite have the case it thought it would have. But, yeah, and they've also said that they were going to try to do some sort of 15-city bus tour to promote this lawsuit in various places around the country.
Now, really, to get Sean Hannity's interest, they should include Jeremiah Wright, because if he's in the picture, Sean will talk about it. We're talking with Dan Shulman, who writes for Mother Jones Magazine. You can read his article at motherjones.com. And this is related to the listing by the Interior Department 2 weeks ago of the polar bear as a threatened species. And Dan, what's the backstory on the wrangling inside the Department of Interior over this listing? They delayed as long as they possibly could, didn't they?
I mean, this was going on for 3 years, and at every step of the way, the Center for Biological Diversity, which is the group that first petitioned to have the polar bear listed, had to sue to move it forward. But inside the Interior Department, there were, you know, a number of political appointees that were resistant to the idea of not just listing the polar bear, but any other endangered species. And one of those was Julie McDonald, who actually oversaw the endangered species listing program at Interior. And it came out last year that she was essentially censoring scientific reports from the field on some of these animals, basically making it sound as if some of them didn't need to be listed. She's no longer at Interior. There was an Inspector General investigation of her that later found that she was passing along internal agency documents to lobbyists.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Julie McDonald is a prime example of what I call the wrecking crew, Dan. These are people who have been appointed to the regulatory agencies by the Bush administration, and they have no interest in the actual intended function of those regulatory entities. They're more interested in using that position to either roll back the gains that environmentalists and others have won hard-fought over the years, or to impose policies that are business-friendly. And it appears that Julie McDonald was able to do a little of each.
It certainly seems that way. It certainly seems that way. And, the polar bear wasn't the only, animal involved. There was kind of the Western, I think it's called like the Western Prairie Dog or something, that was also up for an ESA listing. And apparently she was editing reports on that species as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this is part of a pattern. We've seen that climate change speeches by Hansen at NASA were edited by a young and low-ranking White House official at the Office of Management and Budget, was used as a way to try to limit the expansion of any kind of policy that could be seen as negatively impacting business interests in this country. And it just goes on and on. And it is remarkable what they've been able to achieve. A lot of people think of the insiders in the Bush administration as all as inept as Mike Brown was at FEMA. But I think that while they haven't been achieving the kind of work we would expect them to do, they've crossed off a lot of tasks that were on their agenda lists when they got there.
Well, you've certainly seen a lot of that in the realm of science. There was a global warming report from a government agency that a group had been suing for 3 years that finally came out today. And the only reason it came out was because of this lawsuit, and the Bush administration had been keeping it in limbo for that long. And it showed what most people think of as the scientific consensus right now, that global warming is a real threat to the planet.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. We're going to take a break and return. Daniel Shulman with us from Mother Jones Magazine. You can read his article about the polar bear at motherjones.com. And if you have a question or comment, get on the line now at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 1-888-573-8372. We'll continue in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
A radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540, KRXA, 6 a.m. weekdays.
On June 3rd, vote Mark Hood for judge. Mark Hood has devoted his life to protecting communities from crime. With 19 years as a criminal prosecutor and significant civil experience, Mark Hood has handled thousands of cases, including murder, crime by gang members, kidnapping, and fraud. Praised by judges, fellow prosecutors, and defense attorneys alike, and endorsed by law enforcement. On June 3rd, vote Mark Hood for judge.
I'm Mark Hood, and I approve this message.
Paid for by the committee to elect Mark Hood judge.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we'd like to personally invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Try one of our signature pizzas or calzones, such as Jamaican Me Crazy or Wild Mushroom Dreams.
We also offer sandwiches, salads, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lappert's ice cream.
Located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina. We have been recognized by Monterey County food critics Mike Hill and Melissa Snyder as locals' favorite, best for families, and much more.
Call 582-9149 or visit our website at apizzaparadise.net.
It's A Pizza Paradise, where your pizzas are bigger, better, and bolder.
That's 582-9149.
My name is Donna Shore, and my husband, Todd Hornick, is running in the June 3rd election for Superior Court Judge. Todd is a loving and caring husband and father of our two boys, Tarak and Nilan. Todd Hornick is a dedicated prosecutor with a sincere passion for the law and justice. He has used his legal career to advocate on behalf of victims of crimes and to secure necessary punishments for those who violate the law and threaten our safety. Todd's energy and enthusiasm for the courtroom is matched by his knowledge of the law. As an educator for the California Department of Parks and Recreation and the California District Attorneys Association, Todd teaches law to law enforcement cadets and experienced attorneys from around the state. My husband, Todd Hornick, has the comprehensive support of the law enforcement community, and he is the best choice for judge, beyond a reasonable doubt. Learn more at ToddHornickForJudge.com.
I'm Todd Hornick, and I approve this message.
Installing new transmitter, 50,000 cool ones. Operating the finest talk radio station west of the Gavilan Mountains. Priceless. KRXA 540. Think for yourself. Sofas, dinette sets, mattresses, and more. If you have a home furnishing need, we're the place you need to be. So come on down to your friendly town of Marina and visit us. Furniture Outlet, 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in Marina.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, talking with Dan Shulman, Washington-based associate editor of Mother Jones magazine, about the listing of the polar bear under the Endangered Species Act as a threatened species. And a couple of news items. One is that Andy Revkin, who writes about climate change for the New York Times, published a fascinating book that it's not a kid's book, but it's written to be accessible to people of all ages, and it's about the North Pole. And one of the things I learned there is that there's no fixed location of the North Pole. It's somewhere there under the polar ice cap. And Revkin reports in the Times today on Thursday that there has been an informal agreement among the nations that claim some rights to the North Pole to work out those differences without, hopefully without guns. I don't know what else they're putting down, but I consider that encouraging news. And Dan, the other interesting thing this week is we were just talking about ExxonMobil funding the Corps and other groups that appeared to be prepared to legally challenge the listing of the polar bear. And at the annual meeting of ExxonMobil held this week in Houston, members of the Rockefeller family, the heirs to John Rockefeller's Standard Oil Trust, sponsored a series of shareholder resolutions, and one of them asks Exxon to take the threat of global warming more seriously and look for alternatives to polluting our air with greenhouse gases. Now, the measures, to my knowledge, didn't pass, but it's interesting to me that the beneficiaries of an oil fortune have come to terms with climate change realities and are trying to educate the executives of the company that sends them checks every quarter.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's kind of the way things are heading, and I think the more forward-looking people are looking for a way to kind of make a profit off this because they see this as a market unto itself, green energy and all.
Mm-hmm. And I don't get the sense, though, that the oil patch people themselves are ready to move on to alternative fuel systems. The very same day, Chevron, Texaco, Unocal held their annual meeting, and CEO David O'Reilly rebuffed charges of human rights violations in Ecuador, Nigeria, and Burma. But he also appeared to revel in the huge profits that they're earning, and he kind of lamely predicted that gasoline prices might go down in a year or two. But I don't get the sense, despite all the money that Chevron spends on its greenwashing television commercials to tell us how committed they are to developing new fuel sources, I don't get the sense that that's really true.
No, and I think that you use the term to art right now, greenwashing, and there's a lot of companies that have been involved in that, including BP.
Yeah.
So Chevron's certainly not the only one on that front.
Mm-hmm. So, Dan, from what you've been able to glean over the last couple of weeks, what will be the response of the oil companies and their lobby groups if they're not going to go forward with a lawsuit fronted by Roy Innes and Core? Are they going to just try to use huge political contributions to hold sway with policymakers?
Well, right now there are a variety of lawsuits that actually are on the horizon right now. One has been brought, has been announced by a property rights group, I think based in Sacramento actually, called the Pacific Legal Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Another one has been announced by the state of Alaska, which believes that this ruling is going to disrupt oil and gas exploration. Now, an interesting aside here is that when the Center for Biological Diversity first petitioned to have the polar bear listed, the state of Alaska fought back against that, citing a scientific study that had actually been funded by Exxon. So there you go.
And what did it say, that polar bears were learning to swim and loving it?
It basically is saying that the climate models that are predicting that the polar ice is going to have melted by X amount by X year are inaccurate. And basically that's what the lawsuits are going to do right now. They're not going to challenge it on the economic grounds because Dirk Kempthorne's guidance kind of undercuts that. What they're going to try to do right now is undercut the science here. They're going to say polar bears are actually, far from being endangered, they're actually thriving. They're going to say there were 5,000 polar bears in the 1950s, and then there are 25,000 polar bears now. But if you talk to polar bear biologists, they'll tell you, we had no idea how many polar bears there were in the 1950s. There just isn't an accurate count. And while it might be accurate that certain populations of polar bears are rebounding, that's just not the case across the board. Right now, as we speak, it's polar bear, prime polar bear studying season, and serious biologists that study these bears are up there. And when I got a hold of one of them a couple weeks back, he said, this is shaping up to be the worst season we've ever seen. There really isn't very much ice here. And we're not seeing very many bears. We might have to cut this whole trip short. But I think that's one of the things you're going to see. You're going to see them challenge the science, and you're going to see them challenge these climate forecasting models.
Well, and Dan, as I'm hearing you describe that, this isn't science, but I think of the Downing Street memo that said that the Bush administration was trying to fix the intelligence around the policy. And to apply that here, they continue to try to fix the science around a predetermined policy.
Well, clearly these groups, have challenged the premise of global warming. And, when I spoke to Jim Sims, the energy lobbyist, he kind of deployed some of those arguments that the polar bear population is thriving. And he even told me that, the polar bear has lived without ice in the past, so why can't it live without ice in the future? And that's just really, it's just not true. So you're going to see some of those similar arguments. But on the other side of this, the Center for Biological Diversity, Greenpeace, and the National Resources Defense Council have sued themselves to basically challenge the way that the Interior Department is trying to kind of guide how this ESA listing can be used.
Mm-hmm.
And they filed their suit just I think 2 days after the bear was listed.
Yeah. Well, Dan, thank you for this update, and I appreciate your comments. And by the way, your phone sounded a lot better, so you must have been standing in a rigid position. You can now relax.
Okay.
All right. That's Dan Shulman from Mother Jones Magazine on the web at motherjones.com. You can share a podcast of this hour or any other hour of the Peter B. Collins Show with a friend. The link is on my homepage at peterbcollins.com.
I'm John Gorenfeld, and I've just written a book, Bad Moon Rising, because I thought maybe it said something about just how crazy our politics have become when a wealthy newspaper publisher dresses up like King George III in front of congressmen, and no one seems to care. Bad Moon Rising is about the conservative love affair with the Reverend Moon, the cult leader who publishes the Washington Times, travels with the Bush family.
Reverend Moon never tried to tell him what to say.
And puts on Washington's worst dinner parties. The book is Bad Moon Rising, how Reverend Moon created the Washington Times, seduced the religious right, and built an American kingdom. The foreword's by Barry Lynn. Bad Moon Rising follows an all-star cast of conservatives as they sell their souls to a cult leader, from Jerry Falwell to John McCain's top advisor. You name them, they're in my book. Bad Moon Rising. Buy it for a conservative friend and blow someone's mind. Find out more at thekingofamerica.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Polygamists prevail in the Texas Supreme Court ruling.
It's very good news, not just for these particular petitioners, but for everyone in Texas.
Crude oil is sharply lower.
We are in enduring the breaking point at the pump for consumers of all stripes.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney.
Put these families back.
Willie Jessup, an elder at the Polygamist Ranch in El Dorado, Texas, demands the quick return of more than 400 children who were removed by Child Protective Services 2 months ago. The state Supreme Court has upheld a lower court ruling that CPS went too far and the kids, now scattered in foster homes, should go back to their parents. The next step in this battle isn't clear, but Susan Hayes, an attorney representing a 2-year-old child, says it's not over by any means.
This decision doesn't change the fact there's an ongoing investigation of child abuse, and that investigation is not going away. It's not going poof because of this decision. What the decision is doing is shifting custody of the children from the state of Texas back to their parents while the investigation continues.
CBS News chief legal analyst Andrew Cohen says she's right.
This is not a sweeping victory for the families that forever takes the state Child Protective Services Department out of their hair. The justices in the majority were very clear to advise everyone involved in this that the trial court could continue to order some form of state supervision over the children so long as it is more limited than a complete separation from their parents.
The raid at the Yearning for Zion Ranch was prompted by allegations that underage girls were forced into marriages with much older men, in many cases becoming pregnant. Now this.
This is nice. This is beautiful.
I'm so excited.
It's daring, but it's not over the top.
Exactly.
That old carpet had to go.
Ugh. Yeah.
I was never really fond of that color.
A simple replacement and, brand new.
It's time for wall-to-wall wow. Buy any carpet from the Home Depot's great selection of colors and styles and get basic installation in as many rooms as you want for just $199. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. U.S. only. See store for details, exclusions, and license numbers.
Wondering when it's the right time for service? Your Chevy truck knows. With Oil Life Monitor, OnStar Vehicle Diagnostics, and a complete service schedule in every owner's manual. And when it's time, head down the Good Wrench service lane for an oil change, tire rotation, and a Good Wrench multi-point vehicle inspection.
I can't stop thinking about it.
See your Chevy Good Wrench dealer today or log on to GoodWrench.com. Diagnostic capabilities vary by model. Visit OnStar.com for details and system limitations. Good Wrench and go. We're keeping it simple.
Word just in from Los Angeles that actor Harvey Korman has died at 81. He was a regular on Carol Burnett's TV show and starred in the Mel Brooks classic Blazing Saddles. The price of crude oil plunged more than $4 a barrel today, settling in New York at $126.42. Analysts point to the strengthening dollar and to indications that global demand is slowing, but James Cordier of OptionSellers.com says there's another factor, confirmation that federal regulators are investigating possible price manipulation in the oil market.
I do believe that did roil some of the price today.
And if any charges are announced, he thinks the price could quickly fall back to $100 a barrel.
The knee-jerk reaction would be a very sharp decline, as speculators would probably exit as the announcements would be made.
The Commodity Futures Trading Commission says it's been investigating since December, but went public now because of today's unprecedented market conditions. For drivers, John Kilduff of MF Global says the worst may be over.
The private research a lot of us get to see are showing upwards of 10% demand declines for gasoline nationally. So we are in and enduring the breaking point at the pump for consumers of all stripes.
The troubling report from the Army today, last year 115 soldiers committed suicide, an increase of nearly 13% over 2006.
If you look for the number one cause of suicide, it is a failed relationship. But the war, in so many cases, contributes to those failed relationships.
CBS News correspondent David Martin notes that the suicide surge coincided with the troop surge in Iraq, which extended deployments and required some troops to return to combat for a third time. He's come in for scathing criticism. Today, former White House Press Secretary Scott McClellan started making the rounds defending his book about the Bush administration.
This is the truth from my perspective, and I know some people are going to disagree with it. But at the same time, I think most people that read this book are going to see that it's a sincere effort to really be open and forthright with readers so that we can understand what took this presidency off course, which is the overall narrative, and then what we can learn from that and hopefully do something to change Washington for the better.
He was interviewed by correspondent Katie Couric for the CBS Evening News. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Are we into the Olympics? Are you kidding? This is America. We high-five after meetings. We applaud when delayed planes land. We clap at the end of movies. I never got that, but anyway, you better believe we're going to go nuts for our Olympic athletes. Get U.S. Olympic Team Banking, only at Bank of America. You'll get the U.S. Olympic Team logo on your checks, check card, credit card, and statements. And we'll make a donation to the team with every check card or credit card purchase you make. Plus, with your U.S. Olympic Team Visa Rewards credit card, you'll earn points for cash, airline tickets, and cool Olympic merchandise. So go ahead and cheer when the fire department gets a cat out of a tree. Or some guy eats 37 hot dogs at the county fair. Let's show the Olympic team the same kind of spirit. This is America. Don't you belong at Bank of America? Bank of Opportunity. Member FDIC.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Your humble host is not wearing an American flag lapel pin. My excuse, I'm wearing a shirt that doesn't have a lapel. But I am sporting this cute little keffiyeh that I got at Dunkin' Donuts. Take that, Michelle Malkin. Boo frickin' who? It's time for our weekly outing with Scott Dick. He's our official contributor on military and veterans issues here on the Peter B. Collins Show. He served in the Marine Corps, then in the Army, where he retired at the rank of major. And he now toils in the vineyards of talk radio, hosting the Scott Dick Show, which follows me every evening, 6 o'clock on our flagship station, KRXA 540 in Monterey. Scott, how are you?
I'm fine, Peter, and I am wearing a flag pin.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, it's about 6 inches by 8 inches, and frankly, it's pulling me over in the chair. But I just want to demonstrate how patriotic I am. And then I have my scarf.
Yeah?
And it has flag pins all over it.
Oh, I see. Does it bug you that now Barack Obama appears to be wearing one every day? I mean, they shamed him into an explanation of why he wasn't wearing one. And then I believe a veteran gave him a pin, and so he started wearing it. But I'm sorry to see that he feels compelled to do it on a daily basis.
Well, I can see, yes, it pains me. It pains me that we've fallen so far in our nation that we force a sitting senator whose patriotism is beyond reproach to wear one, because if he doesn't, he's not patriotic. Of course, John McCain doesn't wear one, and Cheney, when he's out of the country, doesn't wear one. But for some reason, their patriotism, even though they've sold the country down the river, is not questioned.
Yeah. And one of the bizarre things is, I don't know if you've been to Capitol Hill, but if you walk around, the members all have little lapel pins. They're not flags, but they usually have a designation that shows that they're a member of the House or the Senate. And they're used by the security guards to identify members so that they get on the right elevators and can ride that shuttle train and all that sort of thing. So it's interesting to me that there is this lemming effect that it's politically correct to wear a lapel pin at all times, but when you're in public, it's got to be the American flag lapel pin.
Yeah, I don't like it. I think it's disturbing. It's blatantly pandering to some class of citizen in the United States that thinks that external symbols trump all.
Yeah.
It's the you know, to teach in California, you still have to sign a allegiance oath. And a woman actually lost her job down in Southern California because she refused to sign it because she's a Quaker. And so they disallowed her from working. Now, what terrorist or communist or somebody who really had the state's welfare, wanted to destroy the state, wouldn't hesitate to sign one of those things?
Right. Yeah. We talked to that teacher after that flap was exposed, and it was sad. She did prevail. She got her job back. But it was an episode she had to fight, and she shouldn't have had to. Now, Scott McClellan always wore an American flag lapel pin when he was lying for the president there in the press room at the White House. That shows just how patriotic he was when he was selling us this load of crap.
Well, it's okay to lie to the American people. You know, the right-wingers claim the problem with liberals, one of the problems with liberals is that we're moral relativists. And it seems to me that it's the kettle calling the pot black. They spend a lot of time spinning, lying, torturing, violating Geneva Convention, but they are moral absolutists. There are some things are just a sin.
Mm-hmm.
They don't define what they are. They violated all the Ten Commandments that you can, and then more. But it's okay.
Yeah.
Because they're right-wingers.
Well, no oral sex was involved, so, you know, you can't impeach him for that.
Well, we don't know for sure. I mean, some of those people that hang around the president, well, never mind.
Okay, I'll let that speculation just linger. Scott Dick is with us this hour, and if you have a question or comment, you can join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Well, Scott, the publication of McClellan's book, and I'll certainly get a copy as soon as I can and actually read it, but from all the excerpts that we've seen, and the soap opera reaction by White House reporters ranging from David Gregory on down the line, fascinates me, because what we have is further proof of what you and I and many others have suspected from well before Shock and Awe started, that there was a very clear orchestrated propaganda campaign that was conducted. Andy Card tipped his hand back there in August of 2002 saying, well, we'll roll it out in September because you never launch a new product during the summer. And yet the media's remained in a kind of denial, unwilling to examine its own role in this, and unwilling to fully confront the Bush administration. So they get a battering ram like Scott McClellan, and they use it and wield it rather effectively, but never really focus on their own misdeeds in this this sorry set of episodes.
Well, they're smearing. They pulled out all the stuff today to smear Scott McClellan as going as far as to saying that actually he lost control of the manuscript and his editor of the same company that published his book for George Soros changed his words. It has to be because it's not the Scott McClellan that we know. Of course, just because when he was employed by the president, he lied for the president. Now he's no longer lying for the president, so he must either be insane or there must be a tremendous amount of money involved, or he must have suddenly gone over to the left wing. Remember Paul O'Neill and Richard Clark, all those they want jobs in the new in the Democratic administration. They've hit their heads. They're selling out. It's the American people, I don't think, are buying it anymore. And furthermore, his book shows, along with the Times article from a month ago, that the Times expose, that there was indeed a propaganda machine aimed at the American people. The only problem with that, Peter, is it's illegal.
Right.
And nobody's even talking about that. I saw the three anchors together, and when Wolf Blitzer called them on the idea that McClellan said that the media wasn't hard enough, they all went, no, we were really hard on the president.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it was disgusting. The only one that had any kind of spine was Katie Couric.
And that surprises me right there.
Yeah, she said, and what Yellen said, somebody I saw today on CNN.
Yeah, Janet Yellen.
Janet Yellen said that I was not allowed to run stories that were critical of the president. I was pressured by corporate masters. My stories were killed, or they were edited, or they asked me to do something else. They directed me to do something else. And they try to shape the information environment to be supportive of the president in this war fever. Now, I'm adding that the information environment is a very key part of modern conflict. And we know that goes all the way back to the 20s. But now with instant news and the internet, it's a real battle to keep your message out there, even if it is a lie.
Well, and they've won. I mean, in the selling of the war in Iraq, the U.S. and its propaganda allies have prevailed. That's a really bad paraphrase of the mission accomplished speech.
No, they did. They did an excellent job. It was a very well. But see, they have all the money. When think about it, Peter, the federal government basically has an unlimited budget to do what they want to do. And if they want to pay reporters to write good articles about a policy or a program, they do it.
Armstrong Williams, yep.
Exactly. If they want to fly generals around and then sit down and craft, it wasn't that the generals spoke the talking points. They crafted around a big table with Rumsfeld the talking points they think they needed to present to the American people that supported their corporate interests, their lobbying clients, or their board member, their board clients. And so they crafted these talking points, and then they measured how often those talking points were introduced into the media. Not only that, but once those fake talking points were introduced, then they're picked up by another other agencies, filters down into small-town papers because they're covered by AP or Reuters or someplace, and then it becomes conventional wisdom. And each one of those pieces of conventional wisdom, we thought at the beginning, this is crap. I can't believe they're buying this. But when you have several hundred newspapers around the country reporting the same thing as a fact, it becomes fact whether it's true or not.
Yeah, it is perception management, and it's very effective. Now, Scott, in the last 24 hours, there have been two very interesting reactions to McClellan's book. One from Ari Fleischer, who was his predecessor as White House press secretary, and Chris Matthews asked him point blank, do you believe that Scooter Libby was justly convicted on the charges that he was convicted of? Fleischer, I do. Because you believe he did lie under oath and he obstructed justice, you believe that? Fleischer, I do. Now, that's a very important issue, but the other reaction is from the author himself. McClellan was on the Today Show today, and we played the clip a little bit earlier in the program, where he fingers President Bush, saying that a reporter asked him, McClellan, did Bush declassify the national intelligence estimate that in turn led to the exposure of Valerie Plame Wilson? And it also enabled Cheney and Libby to disseminate that information because the president had declassified it. Now, earlier, we'd been led to believe that Bush had delegated declassification authority to Cheney and that he had chosen to declassify that. That was a little bit of a buffer of protection that would have cut off culpability at the vice president's office. But what McClellan reports is that he hopped onto Air Force One, repeated a question from a reporter, and Bush said, yes, I did do that. I did declassify that. And what it clearly, it goes beyond suggesting, what I think it proves is that the president was part of orchestrating the Valerie Plame outing from the get-go.
Well, Peter, I'm not surprised. I mean, that seemed obvious to me that an operation like that wouldn't get green-lighted from some lower level. But what that also demonstrates is that it's this process of fuzzing things up. We talked about that a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
Where, you know, one person says one thing and another person says the exact opposite, all for the purpose of confusing things. So one person says it's the vice president, another completely different person says it's the president, somebody else says it's Armitage in the Department of Defense, somebody else, and that way they just keep the American people on our heels, not knowing what's truth, not knowing what's spin, not knowing what's fiction, and it's all been part of this propaganda machine.
We're going to take a break and return with Scott Dick. Your calls and comments welcome right now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We'll take your calls and talk more with Scott straight ahead on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Our schools are in trouble. Healthcare is a mess. The economy is broken. I get it. But we can get California back on track. I'm Barbara Spranger, and I'm running for state assembly because we can't send more politicians to Sacramento. I'm a leader in a group fighting foreign corporate control of our water, and we're winning. I was twice elected to our local school board, balancing budgets in tough times and seeing that kids didn't fall through the cracks. I started a green technology business, creating jobs with full health care benefits. And I was trained in making good public policy by Leon Panetta at the Panetta Institute. We can do a better job in California. We can grow our economy by investing in college education and green technology. But we need leaders who get it and who can get the job done. I'm Barbara Spranger, and I'm ready to get the job done for all of us. I would be honored to have your vote in the Democratic primary on June 3rd. This message was paid for by my campaign, Spranger 2008.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way and the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Checking traffic on KRXA. Good afternoon. City streets of Salinas, Blanco Road at Davis Road. We have a two-car crash. That's off to the side. CHP's on the scene taking a report. Prunedale, San Miguel Canyon Road at Castroville Boulevard. Looks like a vehicle stopping traffic. An SUV is towing a boat. That's partially blocking the roadway there. Highway 17 northbound on the off-ramp to Mount Hermon Road. That ramp is blocked by a two-car crash. CHP on the scene now. Looks like they're getting that moved out of the way. You may see some heavy traffic as you approach the scene. Highway 68 currently checks in stalling accident-free. And this report is brought to you by Carfax. Do you know that a flood-damaged car is like a ticking time bomb? Nearly half of these flooded cars get fixed up and resold. Ask your dealer for a free Carfax vehicle history report or go to Carfax.com. I'm Nate Nix from the Radio Monterey Bay Traffic Center.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. And if you're wearing one of those headscarves popular in the Middle East called a kafia, do what the song says here and go ahead. Hold your head up. Don't let Michelle Malkin make you feel bad about it. Argent, he escaped from the zombies and had a couple of solo hits after that. Hold your head up. And Scott Dick, this is one of those silly little dust-ups that the right wing can get away with. But Dunkin' Donuts put out a TV commercial starring Rachel Ray, and she was wearing a scarf that, according to Michelle Malkin, bore a striking resemblance to a kafia. And that was the headscarf that was popularized by Yasser Arafat, and many others wear it around the world. And Dunkin' Donuts has pulled the commercial. They said absolutely no symbolism was intended. However, as of this past weekend, we're no longer using the online ad because the possibility of misperception detracted from its original intention to sell iced coffee. How do we stop this kind of madness where these right-wingers can take pot shots and get away with it?
We can't. I mean, until companies and corporations get the idea that we have their backs and that there's not going to be any boycott of Dunkin' Donuts, that we don't really give a damn, this kind of crap is going to continue. We saw the same kind of thing with the lapel pin. That's why I mentioned minus 4 inches by 6 inches, because I want everybody to see it and know how patriotic I am. And, of course, Malkin thinks that she's a brilliant anti-terrorist sniffer, and so she can sniff terrorists a mile away, and so she saw something that she didn't like. I know an Army Ranger, Special Forces officer, who used to wear one around his neck when we went to the desert. Imagine that, Peter.
Yeah.
And I don't believe he was a terrorist. Matter of fact, he's still in active duty. He's a colonel fighting the war on terror. So, you know, it's pretty amazing that anybody would listen to her and not say to her, you know what, you have your opinion, it's not a terrorist symbol, so pound sand or bite me or something like that.
I think there are a lot of reasons to avoid Dunkin' Donuts. I just think the product isn't that good. But I would never boycott them over an advertisement like this.
No, if they actually would have stood up to her, I probably would have gone there just because of that. Because yeah. I haven't been in one in probably 25 years either. But it's the same, you know, companies are susceptible to boycotts. They fear that kind of nonsense, but they don't know how really powerless that she is. She's going to be marginalized as the country moves towards sanity and the sun starts to shine on the nation once again as we move towards a democratically elected presidency.
Well, I'd like to double bunk her with Ann Coulter at Gitmo. Then we'd all be better off. Laird in Eureka calling in at 888-5. Peter B. Hello, Laird.
Hi. How you doing, Peter? Hello,
pretty good.
Scott.
Hi, Laird.
Two things pretty real quick here. First of all, I'm starting to get older, and it seems like there's two things that older people have in common. And don't worry, I'm not going to use John McCain's name.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. First of all, we get closer to God. The second thing is, I don't remember.
Okay. Hey, Peter, I didn't hear what he said. What did he say?
He said he didn't remember.
No, I know. That was a joke.
That was easy.
I have my new easy button here, Laird. Watch out.
That was easy.
About 30 years ago, we got our butts kicked out of Vietnam. Today, Vietnam is one of the Asian tigers. Their economy has really recovered well. We went to war with Korea 55 years ago. Those people are starving. Their infrastructure is dying, but they do have nuclear weapons. That's all I've got to say about that. Thank you, Peter.
Okay.
Have a good night.
All right.
Thank you, Laird.
Laird with a free speech message. Thank you very much, sir. 888-5, Peter B., if you would like to join us in the next segment. We're going to talk about how the U.S. and some other nations have chosen not to join a treaty that would ban the use of cluster weapons, cluster bombs. And we also want to talk about some sobering statistics coming from our own military about the actual rate of post-traumatic stress disorder among returning troops, and also the newest information on the suicide rate. You won't be surprised to hear that it went up again last year. You can join our conversation. Call us now at 888-5-PETER-B. More with Scott Dick as we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Well, I guess I was wrong. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. You see, yesterday I described Scott McClellan's book as being about his stint at the White House, but as it turns out, it is actually about what's been going on in McClellan's delusional mind. That was the first question this morning on the Today Show.
What happened to the Bush loyalist who defended this administration, stood up for it when you were part of it? Why now write such a critical book?
Yes, what happened to Scott McClellan? Well, he explains in his book that this was an act of contrition, that he wrote it to be true to his Christian faith and to learn from his mistakes. Well, what he's learning today is that he is in fact suffering from schizophrenia. His predecessor, Ari Fleischer, on CBS.
There are parts in here that just don't even sound like Scott. The Scott that the country got to see from the podium, this book sounds nothing like Scott.
Former presidential counselor Dan Bartlett on CNN.
This is not the Scott we knew. Maybe this is a new Scott. It's almost like an out-of-body experience.
Karl Rove on Fox.
This doesn't sound like Scott. Not the Scott McClellan I've known for a long time. It sounds like somebody else. It sounds like a left-wing blogger.
Left-wing blogger, yes. Agents from the Daily Coast must have injected a microchip into his brainstem while he was sleeping, which means Jack Bauer will have to dig it out with a penknife. Or, there's always involuntary commitment. Because listen to the kind of stuff Scott McClellan has been saying.
And I think we got caught up in playing the Washington game, and I think a lot of Americans like me would like to see us move beyond that bitter partisanship that exists today.
Moving beyond partisanship. He can barely form the words. So sad. The ravings of a maniac. Now this.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and hackers invade your business every day through email, instant messaging, web browsing, and your company's website. With no software to install and no per-user license fees, Barracuda Network firewalls are easy to set up and affordable. Do what 50,000 other companies have done. Reclaim your network with a Barracuda Network firewall. For a free evaluation unit, call Barracuda Networks, 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. To experience one-of-a-kind dishes, don't forget the weekly specials. The Mexicali Grill is open Monday through Saturday for lunch until 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
On the Peter B. Collins Show, our hour devoted to military and veterans issues continues. You can join me and Scott Dick toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 1-888-573-8372. And Scott, before we dive into some pretty serious and somewhat somber issues, I just got a spoof news report from Andy Borowitz, and it reads, Bush refuses to read McClellan's book. I have no intention of reading Scott McClellan's book, Mr. Bush told reporters, because it's a book. He said he was surprised that Mr. McClellan had written a book to criticize him, because if you're trying to communicate something to me, a book is pretty much the last place you'd put it. The president said that he thought the chances of his someday reading McClellan's book were zero. He said, if I didn't read the Iraq Study Group's report, I really don't think I'm about to read Scott McClellan's little book. Presidential historian Davis Logsdon of the University of Minnesota observed that if McClellan honestly expected his memoir to somehow reach Bush, it demonstrates just how little he knows George W. Bush. And he said McClellan would have had a much better shot if he had put his memoir in Xbox 360 format and then slipped it into a package labeled Grand Theft Auto 5.
Or maybe if he would, he needs to have it redone as a comic book, and then perhaps it'll get over there.
My Pet Goat Part 4?
Yeah, something like that.
So, Scott, I want to talk about cluster bombs, cluster munitions, and there have been a series of talks in Dublin, Ireland, going on since February of 2007. And consensus has been reached among 111 nations to sign a treaty declaring that they will no longer use, produce, or sell cluster munitions. The holdouts are the United States, China, Russia, Israel, India, Pakistan, and Brazil. Now, I don't quite see how Brazil fits into that group, but maybe they just didn't want to belong to the majority.
Well, they probably have a big manufacturing interest. There's a Brazil that sells a lot of weapons on the market.
Yeah, good point. And the rest of them are nuclear powers, China, Russia, Israel, India, Pakistan. And by the way, Jimmy Carter finally blurted out earlier this week something that has been hinted at and reported around for many years, and that is Israel has at least 150 nuclear weapons that are in some form of utility. And that's a very interesting confirmation of something that we have suspected for a long time. But as to these...
Peter, I wonder where they got the information, the technology for that.
It must have been from a rogue, proliferator like Pakistan.
Yeah, that seems makes perfect sense to me. Nothing like being a nuclear proliferation enemy, but the United States, and then giving it away to places like India and
So, a definition from the New York Times. Cluster munitions is the term used for weapons fired from aircraft and artillery that contain dozens or even hundreds of bomblets, little bombs, that can remain active long after the first weapon is fired, and that poses deadly risks to civilians. Used by the U.S. and Britain during the invasion of Iraq in 2003 and by Israel in its battle with Lebanon and Hezbollah in 2006, the weapons have been blamed for the deaths of hundreds of civilians. And human rights groups estimate that 1 in 4 of the casualties have been children playing with unexploded bomblets. Now, in my casual lexicon, Scott, I would refer to this as a weapon of mass destruction because its use is intended to provide indiscriminate damage over an area wider than the impact zone of the original bomb or artillery shell that has been delivered. And I do understand that WMD as a military term applies to chemical, biological, and nuclear weapons. But I would argue that when a cluster bomb is used in a populated area, that it really takes on the characteristics of WMD.
Well, I would disagree with you, but until I had not realized that Israel had used those in a place like Lebanon, that seems highly a violation of the Geneva Convention to me.
Well, it's also a violation of the Export-Import Act, which governs the sale and transfer of weapons and other war material from the U.S. to Israel.
Peter, they've been ignoring that for 40 years. We never put any stock in that. We send them all sorts of stuff. We send them F-4s, and then they sink the USS Liberty. So, you know, I don't even know why you waste your breath quoting it.
Okay, it's quaint.
It's very quaint. Cluster bombs, cluster munitions were designed. Let me just go back a second. Think of an object the size of a can of Sterno, packed into round canisters that are either fired from artillery a cannon or dropped from an aircraft, and they explode over the ground. They don't explode on the ground. They explode over the ground. They break open, and all of these little cans of Sterno pop out. They have a couple different kinds. The ones I really like, when they hit the ground, they pop out wires, little strings, like something in a movie. And if you touch one of those, they go off. So that's a kind of landmine, and they're definitely an aerial weapon. So if you have dug-in troops that don't have complete overhead cover, you would drop a cluster munition. That would get the troops that were in the open, and it would make it impossible for the troops to come out from the unexploded. So you can set those little beggars at for different times, immediate explosion upon contact, or an hour, or they're supposed to self-destruct, I believe, after 72 hours or 96 hours, something like that. So you could hold hold the enemy in place, and then you could drive through that same location later on. And I believe that we've had casualties from our own cluster weapons because our troops, they did not all go off. And of course, there's for a munition to misfire, there's no consequences for the contractor who built it. So, you know, so if they have an 80% or 90% operational rate, you know, everybody is in danger of becoming a casualty. That's the problem with landmines, is you have the danger of your own troops, because nobody can remember in the heat of combat where they put the damn thing. So it's they have all sorts of characteristics and different configurations, and they're quite effective. But they were designed to equalize the big difference, the big ratio, force ratio difference between the Soviet Union and the NATO pact. So the Warsaw Pact and the NATO Pact outnumbered 7-1. They used to get it into our heads. In tank gunnery, you have to kill 7 Russian tanks before you can be killed because they're just overpowering. So cluster munitions and landmines delivered the same way, either aerial from aircraft or artillery, were supposed to be a big equalizer. Well, this is 2008. So in the fight against terrorists, in the global war on terror, where the hell are you going to use a cluster munition? And if you wanted to take out if there was a terrorist camp in the deserts of Pakistan and there's nobody else around, you could drop it on them and render that camp, you know, inoperative for a couple of months. But other than that, it's a real anachronism. It's not. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, and again, I do distinguish. I can see its value as a weapon on a designated battlefield, where you are confronting the organized troops of another nation, in a more classic kind of warfare. But when you're conducting guerrilla operations or counterinsurgency operations in populated areas, this just seems to me, number one, to be dangerous to our own troops, and number two, to be counterproductive, because the accidental or unintentional discharge of these weapons causes more harm, both real and perceived, than the benefit. The cost is greater than the benefit, in my view.
Well, that's a very good point, Peter, because when you wound somebody, you use three times as many people on the battlefield to render first aid, to evacuate it for the battlefield, to use assets. And so it's a drain and provides a constant drain on frontline resources. And so being able to ban those, just like we're not signatories to the landmine treaty because we have to have them in places like Korea, and I use those, quotation marks, it's a non-discriminatory weapon. It kills innocent people, it maims innocent people, and once again, our troops, our own troops, have been victims of cluster munitions. So I think we preserve the right to sell them is why we're not signatories. I can't see any strategic value in maintaining cluster weapons anymore. I don't see the threat. Maybe the military, Department of Defense, thinks we're going to get into a shooting war with North Korea and we're going to need our cluster weapons all over again.
The draft treaty sets an 8-year deadline for signatory nations to destroy most of their stockpiles of cluster weapons, along with other provisions the delegates said would ultimately eliminate all but a small fraction of cluster munitions in nations that sign the treaty. It also obliges nations that adopt it to provide technical, financial, or material assistance for clearing up cluster munition remnants that remain on territory of other states. And one more point here, the proposed treaty would not ban a new lightweight generation of so-called smart cluster munitions, each carrying fewer than 10 bomblets and designed to self-destruct within a short period of time after impact. And that does seem at least a little bit more humane. I know we're talking about degrees here and that, being humane is not the objective in combat. The issue for me is the unintended discharge of these weapons against our troops and against civilians.
But to put it in perspective, Peter, these weapons are pernicious. There was I just read an article about a month ago about a guy who was trying to defuse a Civil War bomb and killed himself in his front yard. Now, why do I bring that up? Because these munitions stay around for a long time. The the Secretary of State requires the embassy put together a mine handbook every year. And so they have to go to the host nation and get the number of landmines they found. And when I was in Luxembourg, they'd find an average of 6 to 8. I was like, they don't find landmines in Luxembourg. They said all the time. So landmines from World War II, there are reports in the 80s, in the 70s and 80s and 90s of French farmers digging up old cannon shells that had mustard gas in them. These kind of weapons stay around for a long time. They don't go away. And the ability to inflict casualties on your own forces, it begs that they not be used. It's counterproductive. There are places in Falklands that are completely unusable because of the landmines they laid there during the war. When was that?
88?
Thousands, maybe millions. Same way in places in Africa, in Angola. Mm-hmm. And those were laid by the Cubans. And we're talking ancient history here for most people, and yet those landmines. I remember a very good case. When I was in the 1st Armored Division, there was a doctor and his wife on vacation, and they were killed in Egypt. Their driver drove over a landmine, and it was there was no minefield there.
Mm-hmm.
And they were civilians on vacation, and that's how it happens. And so the whole idea of landmines and cluster bombs, we can't get rid of them because we might need them someday, is stupid. It's a stupid argument.
Sure seems like it to me. Scott, thank you for that counsel. We're going to take a break and return, and we'll talk about new statistics about Army suicides and troops suffering from PTSD on their return from Iraq and Afghanistan. There's room for your call if you'd like to make a comment or ask a question. Toll free, it's 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. And you can email me 24/7, peter@peterbcollins.com. listening to KRXA 540.
Checking traffic on KRXA, new problem for Salinas, South 101 after Baranda Road. Spilled load of baskets all over the roadway. The truck that lost the debris is off to the right-hand shoulder. CHP on the way. They're going to run a traffic break to get that moved out of there. For Aptos, southbound Highway 1 before Soquel Drive, reports of a two-car crash. One of those vehicles actually clearing off to the shoulder. The other one may be moving off to surface streets. Highway 1 at Struve Road in Watsonville. Big piece of lumber in the roadway. Watch out there. 17th, Santa Cruz Mountains. No stalls and no accidents, but heavy traffic once you get to the fish hook in Santa Cruz. This is brought to you by Orkin Pest Control, where you see one pest, you know there's more. Visit OrkinMan.com for a free online pest test. Orkin, keeping pests in their place. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call. The number's 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix with traffic on KRXA.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffee-topia.
What was that?
And so, it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
In the Monterey County Courts, there are 8 criminal cases for every 1 civil case. That means we need a judge who's an expert in criminal trials. Mark Hood is the only candidate who has 19 years' experience as a criminal prosecutor. He has an unmatched record for integrity, fairness, and knowledge. Mark Hood is endorsed by law enforcement, including the Monterey County Deputy Sheriff's Association. On June 3rd, vote Mark Hood for judge.
I'm Mark Hood, and I approve this message.
Paid for by the committee to elect Mark Hood judge.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Walk with me. Take my hand.
All right. We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. You can take my hand if you want. Haven't heard this one in ages. It's the Four Tops. Time for more with Scott Dick here on the Peter B. Collins Show. 888-5 Peter B. if you'd like to join us. And Scott, tough choice here, but you want to start with suicides or PTSD?
Let's start with PTSD because that's the most, I don't know, that's not most egregious, but let's start there.
All right. According to the newest numbers from the Pentagon, the number of troops diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder jumped by roughly 50% in 2007, the most violent year so far in the conflicts there in Iraq and Afghanistan. And they say that 40,000 cases were reported, but they cover only those that the military has tracked. And partial breakdown, 10,000 new cases reported by the Army, up from 6,800 the year before. And the Army reports that of their troops, more than 28,000 altogether have been diagnosed with PTSD over the last 5 years. And why are we seeing an increase in the numbers here? Is this a statistical problem where the data collection has improved, or do you think this reflects a sharp spike, Scott?
Well, I don't really know. I can only speculate, Peter, but it's probably a combination of two things. One, they're actually now beginning to really ask soldiers, and I say soldiers, I mean sailors, airmen, all that, what's going on? I think the rates of PTSD and the rates of suicide are connected. And, you know, James Peake, who is the head of the VA, said that, you know, why do we don't want to label these soldiers with PTSD, you know, blah, blah. And he doesn't want to be saddled with, you know, this whole thing of taking care of veterans who've had PTSD. They get a little bit of income from that. It costs money. And the other thing is, Peter, you have to look, I think, at a guy who's so tough, who's not affected by his first tour, might be affected by his second tour. Pretty sure he's going to be affected by his third tour, don't you think? And maybe by his... Yep. Hang on a second.
Okay. Can you get control of your technology there, please? Thank you. Yeah, you're right. The repeated tours, the extended tours went up from 12 to 15 months, and particularly those who were reservists or National Guard members who have had to, suffer through stop loss on a multiple basis. You can imagine that their mental health is extremely fragile and that when they come home, there is a huge adjustment.
And they try to say that they have all these psychological counseling in the military. Since when? I mean, it's a stigma. You can pretty much lose your tour, lose your career if you're diagnosed with a mental illness. You're pretty much done. You're going to be discharged. And it is nothing to just go through years and years and years trying to medicate yourself, either with alcohol or something else. And so this combination of untreated PTSD and suicide, they are, I believe, completely linked, inextricably linked together, and undiagnosed or untreated PTSD very much leads to, and I'm not a psychologist, to suicide. But neither is the head of the VA. He's a medical doctor. Now, I'm surprised. He is an ex-West Pointer infantryman who went to medical school, and then he was a medical doctor. But he's not a psychiatrist. And so for him to play down the effects of PTSD, it smacks of, well, I didn't get PTSD when I was in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
And so then, he left after one tour. Maybe if he would have gone back for a second tour and a third tour, that he would have been affected. Or, like you said, in the National Guard and the Reserves, when they come back, there's no safety net. It's not like being on Fort Hood or Fort Bragg or Fort Drum or Fort Dix or someplace where there's a clinic that's full of vets. They deployed with you. They came back with you for the most part, and they know what the heck they're doing.
Well, and Scott, I think that what we're looking at, too, in these spike numbers of both suicides and PTSD cases, that this is really a glimpse of the homeless population on our streets in another 5 or 10 years.
Yes, I would say so. And the other thing is, Peter, unless they've changed it, every time there was an active duty suicide, when I was on active duty, they did a complete psychological autopsy. And they should have some information. They said they should have some data. They should have some treatment, some intervention strategies developed from these psychological autopsies. I don't know what they're doing with the information. You know, that once the person is deceased, I don't believe Dr. Privilege holds. They could be promulgating this information to other units, to other commands, to try to, get people to see the warning signs and educate commanders and people in responsibility who may or may not have PTSD themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know what they're doing with the information that they're supposedly or they should be getting from these psychological autopsies.
And here are the grisly stats on suicide, a 13% increase if you compare 06 with 07. Total count, 115 troops committed suicide in 2007. That was up from 102 in 06 and 85 in 2005. And the military reports that about 25% of those deaths, So roughly 30 of the 115 occurred in Iraq. So.
And 100, that's 10 a month, Peter.
Yep.
Then what's not counted are those suicides that don't look like suicides. There was a rash. If you look at Army safety bulletins, there's a rash of troops coming home buying high-powered motorcycles and cars with their bonus money and then crashing them at high speeds. not just the, they say, yeah, it's a kind of an adrenaline junkiness kind of thing going on, adrenaline addiction, but there's other cases that, you know, they couldn't sort out, and because it involved a vehicular accident, went down as an accident. So there's all these other things that people just don't know, you know, they're not attributable. So I would say it's probably higher. I have no idea how high, but $110 a month, it's going to go from there. It's going to go higher from there.
Since the beginning of GWAT, the Global War on Terror, the Army has lost over 580 soldiers to suicide, the equivalent of an entire infantry battalion task force. And suicide ranks as the fourth leading manner of death for soldiers, exceeded by hostile fire, accidents, and illnesses.
And, Peter, you know, if you don't have the new GI Bill for them after 3 years and they get out, what do you leave them with? You don't leave them with much. They have may have a case of PTSD if they've done a tour, or maybe two tours in Iraq and Afghanistan. They're gonna have to pay for their own education or eke out what they get out of the old Montgomery, whatever they still have in place, and try to deal with at 18, 19, 20, 21 years old with all of these issues that came with them from Iraq and Afghanistan. It's crazy.
Yeah, it sure is. Scott, thanks for a great hour. Good to talk to you.
You're welcome. It's always a pleasure, Peter.
Scott Dick here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're going to take a break and return for the Free Speech Zone. Your calls and comments are welcome. Any topic, any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice. The toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The Texas Supreme Court has upheld last week's ruling by a lower court saying state child welfare officials were wrong to remove more than 400 children from the Yearning for Zion Ranch.
These children have suffered enough at the hands of the state of Texas. It is time for the children to come home. It's time for the state of Texas to lay down arms here and solve this problem.
Rod Parker is a spokesman for the polygamist group. More from CBS News correspondent Hari Srinivasan.
Texas Child Protective Services had argued that it removed the children because there was an urgent need to protect them from what was termed a pervasive culture of physical and sexual abuse, where underage marriage and pregnancy was common, and that the children were all part of one big household, and therefore one child at risk put them all at risk. The court disagreed. But today's ruling does not mean an immediate reunion.
Further legal maneuvers are expected, and Child Protective Services vows to continue its investigation. Comic actor Harvey Korman has died. He'd been ill since suffering an aortic aneurysm 4 months ago. With Tim Conway, Korman had a long run on The Carol Burnett Show. Robert Thompson is professor of TV and pop culture at Syracuse University.
He had a real penchant for laughing at his own sketches, sometimes uncontrollably, sometimes laughing a little harder than the sketch they have called for.
Here's a classic moment from the Mel Brooks film, Blazing Saddles.
Be ready to attack Rock Ridge at noon tomorrow. Here's your badge.
We don't need no stinking
Harvey Korman was 81. Federal regulators have shaken up the oil market.
We are taking a very broad and wide look at what is occurring in the crude markets.
Gregory Mosek of the Commodity Futures Trading Commission says that since December they've been investigating possible price manipulation.
We're looking at the physical oil market. We're looking at the oil pricing mechanisms. We're looking at the freight market and how oil is shipped into the United States. And then obviously all the trading that goes around that.
Today oil fell $4.50 a barrel to settle in New York at $126.42. Soldier suicides last year reached their highest level since the Army started keeping records. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive has details.
Among active duty soldiers, 115 suicides, up from 102 the previous year and 85 the year before that. Deployments abroad, mainly in Iraq, became longer, affecting what Army psychiatrist Colonel Elspeth Ritchie discussed recently.
The primary reasons for suicides is failed intimate relationships, failed marriages.
Also, an increase in PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, often from bloodshed that soldiers see in war zones. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
The Dow up 52 points to 12,646. This is CBS News.
This is nice. This is beautiful.
I'm so excited.
It's daring, but it's not over the top.
Exactly.
That old carpet had to go.
Ugh. Yeah.
I was never really fond of that color.
A simple replacement and, yeah, brand new.
It's time for wall-to-wall wow. Buy any carpet from the Home Depot's great selection of colors and styles and get basic installation in as many rooms as you want for just $199. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. U.S. only. See store for details, exclusions, and license numbers.
Your lawn is for singing and laughing and pitching and catching, not stinging and biting and itching and scratching. So this weekend, get OrthoMax Lawn Insect Killer. Kills ants, fleas, ticks, and lots of other annoying lawn bugs. Fast. Keeps bugs away all season. Hey, lawns are for the good things in life. You know, fun, games, hugs, not bugs. Get OrthoMax this weekend. Lawn bugs gone all season long.
Drug maker Merck appears to have survived the legal battle over its painkiller Vioxx. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato has an update.
The tide is turning for Merck as two more courts overturn giant jury awards to people who say they or their relatives were harmed by Vioxx. Spokesman Kent Jarrell.
Today's decisions overturn almost $40 million of damages and attorney's fees,
including an award to the widow of a 59-year-old triathlete, the very first Vioxx case to go to trial. A Texas court says Vioxx didn't cause his death. She'll appeal. Of the 18 cases that went to trial, only three verdicts for plaintiffs now remain. Signups continue for a fund in which Merck plans to pay $4.85 billion to settle remaining claims. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Ted's Montana Grill, a restaurant chain featuring bison, co-founded by mogul Ted Turner, has 56 locations in 18 states. On Monday, the chain will open its first restaurant in Montana. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
This is nice. This is beautiful.
I'm so excited.
It's daring, but it's not over the top.
Exactly.
That old carpet had to go.
Ugh. Yeah.
I was never really fond of that color.
A simple replacement and, yeah, brand new.
It's time for wall-to-wall wow. Buy any carpet from the Home Depot's great selection of colors and styles and get basic installation in as many rooms as you want for just $199. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. U.S. only. See store for details, exclusions, and license numbers.
Wondering when it's the right time for service? Your Chevy truck knows. With Oil Life Monitor, OnStar Vehicle Diagnostics, and a complete service schedule in every owner's manual. And when it's time, head down the Good Wrench service lane for an oil change, tire rotation, and a Good Wrench multi-point vehicle inspection.
I can't stop thinking about it.
See your Chevy Good Wrench dealer today or log on to GoodWrench.com. Diagnostic capabilities vary by model. Visit OnStar.com for details and system limitations. Good Wrench and go. We're keeping it simple.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Your humble host apologizes for the dead air there, 3 or 4 seconds, the top of this segment. I was distracted by YouTube. Has that ever happened to you? We are launching into the free speech zone. I want to talk to you at 888-5-PETER-B.
Calling to the faraway towns. Now war is declared and battle come down. London calling to the underworld. Come out of the cupboard, you boys and girls. London calling, now don't look to us. Beatlemania is bitten the
the rain, the crunch of pain. The ice is coming, the sun's zooming in. Meltdown expected, the wheat is going in. Engine stop running, but I have no fear. Just London is drowning out.
That's the late Joe Strummer and the Clash, London Calling. And if you're in London, go ahead and give me a call. That would be toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. Actually, it doesn't work that way. If you're in London, send me an email, and I'll send you the U.S.-based number. That's not a toll-free number that you could use to call. And that works for our listeners in Japan and Australia and Costa Rica, too. In the continental United States, call me at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Want to get your take on the Scott McClellan disclosures. They offer further proof of how we were lied to and how the authorization came from the top. The outing of Valerie Plame has George W. Bush's fingerprints right on it. McClellan has confirmed that for us. And, of course, they're so hypocritical and they're so pathological about their lies that there will be no moment of self-examination. Dan Bartlett was trotted out, and he's a pretty good spinmeister. They had him on television last night. And he had these, little mea culpas. Oh, yeah, mistakes were made. We didn't think the occupation of Iraq would be as tough as it is. He had these moments of acknowledgement. But in large part, the denial is complete, and the problem is Scott McClellan. Not what he said, not what it confirms, but oh, here's a disgruntled former White House staffer cashing in with a big book deal. Now, it does appear this book's going to sell well. I would speculate that right now. But according to some sources, he didn't get a huge advance. Not like, say, Bill or Hillary Clinton. So I think this is going to be interesting, and I welcome your comments on the McClellan disclosures. We also talked about the polar bear and global warming. Lots of issues that Scott Dick brought up, including Michelle Malkin. She is such a despicable, detestable twerp. And to imagine that Dunkin' Donuts had to drop an ad because she saw a keffiyeh instead of a scarf. Poor little Michelle. Poor Michelle. Well, the YouTube clip I was trying to pull up, I cannot find right now. So I'm just going to share these comments with you from Senator John McCain, who would like to be your next president. And he's responding to Scott McClellan's book. He said, I have not seen the book or the comments, but I know why I supported the war, because I believed Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction, as did every intelligence agency in the world and every assessment. A little sweeping there, wouldn't you say, Senator McSame? Well, not only that, his sweeping comments are simply not true. Because Scott Ritter was there telling us that there were no WMD in Iraq, and if there were chemical weapon stockpiles, that they had expired. Their shelf life was over. Not only that, the State Department's Bureau of Intelligence and Research concluded that the activities we have detected do not add up to a compelling case that Iraq is currently pursuing what we would consider to be an integrated and comprehensive approach to acquire nuclear weapons. At the Department of Energy, they dissented from the White House view that aluminum tubes were going to be used for nuclear centrifuges because they were for small artillery rockets. And Mohammed Baradei, El Baradei, and the International Atomic Energy Agency flatly stated just 2 weeks before Bush launched Shock and Awe that there was no evidence that Saddam Hussein had any nuclear weapons or was in the process of acquiring them. Sorry, Senator McCain, I think you got that one wrong. Your apology will be welcome whenever you decide to dish it out. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll go to your calls in a moment at 888-5-PETER-B, but I feel a panic attack coming on. Tommy Panic is our in-depth undercover, low-budget investigative reporter. and he never gives me a lot of detail. All I know is he is in Hollywood, and that ABC Television is planning to debut a new reality TV show that's unscripted and no professional talent, based on the work of the Department of Homeland Security. Tommy Panik, welcome to the show today. What do you got for us?
Well, that's exactly right, Peter. Excellent setup. I am down here in Hollywood where deals get done. I'm in the process of getting tanned for some upcoming undercover work in the Middle East. I can't really go into much more detail, but yeah, reality TV is kind of where it's at. The substitute for the scripted drama is still all the rage. Scott McClellan is looking to option his story to the networks in the form of a celeb reality show, yeah, kind of like the Osbournes, Growing Up Gotti, Hogan's Knows Best. You know the kind of shows you watch, Peter.
Oh yeah, right.
But in McClellan, and that is just a working title, cameras would follow the former White House spokesman during his everyday life, hoping to capture the exact moment when, to quote John Madden, boom, the administration takes him out for all to see on reality TV. How would it happen? I mean, I don't know, a gunshot to the back of the head, a knife slash to the front of the throat, a poison pill, a nasty tax audit.
How about a little polonium?
Surgery gone wrong?
Maybe some polonium.
Who knows? The possibilities are endless, and that is what makes this show so compelling. So the former Bush aide, figuring he might as well profit off of his imminent demise, figurative or otherwise. Anyway, that's in development. But also in Hollywood, the big studio Mucky Mucks vigorously pondering the Larry Craig story, a lavatory escapade. Not really sure I need to go into much detail on that one, but it will include some of the basics of toe-tapping etiquette while in a stall adjoining another stall. But Peter, you hit on it, the real story in Hollywood this week, the deal that got done in the land of reality TV, ABC pulling the trigger for the production of 11 hours of Border Security USA. They're going to shoot that thing on location all over the country. It'll focus on the efforts of border protection agencies to halt illegal smuggling and immigration. Your typical episode, it'll be all over the place. You'll see some border patrol in Texas, security screeners in, let's say, at JFK Airport in New York. You'll see Coast Guard boats off Puerto Rico. And this is the format that they're going to go with, working in conjunction with the Department of Homeland Security. But several other show formats are being considered and may one day come to a network near you. I don't know if you've heard of some of these, Peter. In development, they have a Last Comic Standing type of a program where you follow a Department of Homeland Security raid and then captured illegals compete against each other in a comedy competition with citizenship at stake. They could also do a Guantanamo Bay version of the show. That almost got done, and honestly, I think it still might. There's also, you know, the kind of reality TV professional activities, like Cops being the best example. That's been on for 20 years now, but shows like Miami Inc., American Chopper, those kind of shows where you've got an interesting profession, some sort of way of life that's being chronicled, and a lot of the execs that I spoke to down here in Hollywood thought that the day in the life of an embedded terrorist set side by side with a day in the life of those agents pursuing them was maybe not in the best of taste, but the big thing was trying to find the right embedded guy. Yeah. That would be tough. Also, they thought maybe the day in the life of an illegal alien from one of our neighbors to the south attempting to avoid the DHS, while interesting, probably would not work just yet, but I don't know if you'd be interested in that. There's discussions of a dating type show where they would send out government agents on blind dates with each other, as well as potential enemies of the state. An idea still in its concept stages, kind of a precious embryo, as the administration might say. How about this one? The hidden camera idea being bantered about. They'd set this thing in our nation's airports, and it'd be kind of like MTV's Punk'd, where unsuspecting passengers would be put through difficult circumstances. Let's leave it at that. But Here's the one, Peter, where there's huge buzz. A proposal on the table for a real-life version of The Running Man. That's the Stephen Stephen King, he wrote under the pseudonym Richard Bachman,
sure.
And in that story, you've got the individual that's deemed as an enemy of the state, they're released with a 12-hour head start, then you've got this group of hunters that set out to kill them, and contestants earn $1,000 per hour, they remain alive, a little bit more if they can take out one of these hunters, and eventually $1 billion if they survive for 30 days. And whether the individual is on the run in hopes of surviving for citizenship or something like that,
yeah.
Or even if you might even open it up to the general public at a chance for a real payoff with one's life at stake. But tell me you wouldn't watch that.
I'm sure I wouldn't.
Come on. And there's also the movie version of the story, the Schwarzenegger flick. Shouldn't he be able to pronounce the state at this point?
But California.
Yeah, they kind of bastardized the story. He's the butcher of Bakersfield, by the way, in this story, some wrongly convicted guy, and he's in some underground death maze. And when you consider the possibility of collateral damage, that is the direction they might have to go. But anyway, ABC pays for kind of a tamer version of what is also out there on the table. But I know you got to go. But we're getting closer every day to a return of the days of the Colosseum in Rome and the lions and the gruesomeness. You saw Gladiator. But getting closer, but we're not quite there.
Tommy Panic live from Hollywood today, and I can't wait for Border Security USA from ABC Television. I can imagine the cameo that Congressman Tom Tancredo will play, trying to channel Mark Walsh from America's Most Wanted. You can see that, right? Tommy always digs up the exclusive stories. Thank you very much, sir. We're going to take a break and return to the Free Speech Zone and your phone calls. I got lines available. You can comment toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. The Peter B. Collins Show, produced by Katrina Rill. Brian Urban is taking your calls today.
Mark Hood for Judge is endorsed by the Monterey County Deputy Sheriff's Association, the Peace Officers Research Association of the Central Coast, and the union representing court employees. Mark Hood is the only candidate for judge who has 19 years' experience with major criminal prosecutions, plus significant civil experience with a leading firm. Tough on violent crime, smart on prevention. On June 3rd, vote Mark Hood for Judge.
I'm Mark Hood, and I approve this message.
Paid for by the committee to elect Mark Hood Judge.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
You're listening to the greatest talk radio station on the planet, iKRXA 540. Think for yourself.
sofas, dinette sets, mattresses, and more. If you have a home furnishing need, we're the place you need to be. So come on down to your friendly town of Marina and visit us. Furniture Outlet, 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in Marina.
Checking traffic on KRXA. Just one accident to report right now for Watsonville, and it's a bad one. Injury crash Hall Road at Elkhorn Road. Two cars apparently overturned. One of them actually went down the roadway and into a ditch, and drivers are trapped inside of that vehicle. Emergency crews just arriving on the scene. Northbound Elkhorn Road has been shut down, and traffic is being diverted off to Werner Road. For Highway 17, Santa Cruz Mountains currently checking in. Stall an accident free, of course, seeing that heavy traffic once you get to the fish hook in Santa Cruz, with stop-and-go traffic southbound one down into the Aptos area. 68, no stalls and no accidents to report. And southbound 101, heavy traffic leaving South San Jose from Coyote Creek Golf Drive down into the Morgan Hill area. And this is brought to you by Carfax. Do you know that a flood-damaged car is like a ticking time bomb? Nearly half of these flooded cars get fixed up and resold. Ask your dealer for a free Carfax vehicle history report or go to Carfax.com. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
Your humble host, Peter B. Collins, signed, sealed, and delivered. You can always email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. And special greetings to our weekend listeners in Seattle and Portland. You're hearing a program that originated a couple of days ago, but you're welcome to respond by email. And if you disagree with your humble host, use the email address fullofit@peterbcollins.com. That gets my attention a little faster. Let's go to Josh in Salinas, calling in toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. Hello, Josh.
Hey. Peter, I'm losing count here. What does this make? How many White House insiders have written their memoirs giving the revolutionary point of view that Bush is a twit who believes his own lies and he lied us into this war?
I've lost count.
Okay, there was a Treasury Secretary.
Paul O'Neill.
Okay, right. There was the holdover national security guy, anti-terrorism guy, right?
Richard Clark.
Yeah. How many does it take before they stop saying, this guy is a liar, and start saying, we have a problem on our hands?
Well, you and I have known it for a long time, Josh, but penetrating the elected officials' minds has been difficult. And we also have a media that's sold out and is embarrassed by that. And is kind of ashamed and hiding under, you know, the rocks that they can find.
I want to watch Fox tonight to see how they spin this, because it's going to have to be good. I think they might use the model of the occupation of Iraq. You know, they won't focus on the bad things the president has done,
right,
but on the good things. They might say Bush has not invaded Switzerland.
Right.
And he once distinguished correctly between manure and shinola. He once read the teleprompter correctly.
Now, Josh, I want to warn you, if you're going to turn on the Fox News channel, you would want Rolaids or Pepto-Bismol or some other some other form of, you know, stomach protection.
Yeah, I think that would be advisable. Maybe sunglasses.
Yeah, that wouldn't hurt. So, Josh, where are you that it's so windy? And we want to know, what are you doing?
I'm in beautiful Salinas.
Yeah.
It's afternoon. It's got to be windy here. The flag is shooting, rippling straight away from the flagpole. Just boom.
Mm-hmm. Now, were you on your way to the library to find out that it's closed?
You know, our library is going to be open 7 days a week pretty soon. We're going to have to shut down a lot of essential infrastructure repair, but we are going to have our library open 7 days a week. We did vote for the extra tax.
Well, I'm proud of you.
Wonderful reputation, and our murder rate is zooming up, and the federal government is cutting our gang task force money.
Mm-hmm. And all makes,
library will be open.
All makes sense to me. Thank you, Josh.
Thanks a lot, Peter.
All right. 888-5-PETER-B. Join us here in the Free Speech Zone. Dave's on the line from Eureka. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Peter. I didn't feel fully panicked attacked today, so I was going to share with you an amusing little story of a clock repairman, if that would be all right.
Tell me.
Well, he drives his pickup to his shop to find that all of the parking places near his shop are taken, so he has to park down the road, and he hauls this big grandfather clock down the sidewalk back towards his shop, and he bumps into a lady and knocks her on her butt. He sets the clock down. He's very apologetic in helping her up, and she says, "I think I'm going to be all right, but why don't you just wear a watch like normal people?" Anyway, I was curious to know what your view is on how McClellan has turned on us. The McClellan that I knew, he didn't used to tell the truth a whole lot.
Yeah. Well, I think he took off his American flag lapel pin.
That
and
would do it.
And at some point, the game face dropped. And there clearly has been a change of heart, a catharsis, whatever term you want to use, because he was a loyal Bushy. He was an insider. And maybe it is just his bruised ego that caused him to reevaluate. But clearly, he was hurt when he was pushed out of the White House. He clearly, from the book and his public statements, is offended by the way that Rove and Libby and others lied to him. And then the president and the vice president sent him out there like a poodle dog and told him to lie to the American public. So I don't know if this is pure payback or if, you know, there is a soul inside Scott McClellan that thrived after he left the White House and caused him to rethink all these things. We'll probably find out more over the coming days. We're going to take a break and return for more of your phone calls. I've got lines open in the free speed zone here. You know the number. It's 888-5-PETER-B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Our schools are in trouble. Healthcare is a mess. The economy is broken. I get it. But we can get California back on track. I'm Barbara Spranger, and I'm running for state assembly because we can't send more politicians to Sacramento. I'm a leader in a group fighting foreign corporate control of our water, and we're winning. I was twice elected to our local school board, balancing budgets in tough times and seeing that kids didn't fall through the cracks. I started a green technology business, creating jobs with full health care benefits. And I was trained in making good public policy by Leon Panetta at the Panetta Institute. We can do a better job in California. We can grow our economy by investing in college education and green technology. But we need leaders who get it and who can get the job done. I'm Barbara Spranger, and I'm ready to get the job done for all of us. I would be honored to have your vote in the Democratic primary on June 3rd. This message was paid for by my campaign, Spranger 2008.
Barack Obama for America. Barack Obama for America. His wisdom, courage, and integrity will give us peace and strong prosperity. Our people need a new direction, security and health protection. With global warming creeping upon us, we need a president that we can trust. Barack Obama for America. Barack Obama for America.
America needs Barack Obama. I'm Joan Hopkins, and I wrote this song. Help us play it on radio stations across the country. Go to deltawavepress.com or call me at 831-659-2086 to help America.
Go ahead. Take a deep breath. Mmm.
Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system, your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hambly, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Live from the Left Coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
That number again is 888-5-PETER-B. We're in the free speech zone. Your calls and comments welcome for the rest of this hour. And I want to hear from some new blood. Fresh listeners, fresh callers. 888-5-PETER-B. If you've never been on the show before, I welcome your call.
Said the fight to make ends meet. Keep the man up on his feet. Holding down his job. Trying to show he can't be bought.
Even Scott McClellan.
Make what life's about, yeah. Every kind of people. Make the world go round.
And one of my favorite online listeners, Andy, checks in from New York City today. Hello, Andy. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Peter, I'm sorry I'm not a new listener.
That's all right.
I'm a new caller.
I'm always glad to hear from you.
I was just thinking of that McCain comment, and I hear that all the time from Republicans. Everybody thought they had WMDs. Everybody knew that. You know, that is the biggest baloney.
Right.
Gerhard Schroeder of Germany, the prime minister, Jaska Fischer, the foreign affairs individual from Germany. They both were running around the world telling people that they didn't have WMDs, not to attack.
Well,
John Chirac and Villa Penn were the same way.
And Andy, I don't know about you, but I was one of the 10 million people who took to the streets before Bush launched this misguided unilateral blunder. And we knew, based on Scott Ritter, Hans Blix, Mohammed al-Baradei, we knew that it was a phony argument, and we knew that the rationale for war had been shifting almost monthly from September up through March. And so it was only people who wanted to believe the BS who did so.
Right. According to the corporate media, there was no opposition, no dissent out there to be seen. And that was a bunch of baloney, too, because they never covered it.
Right.
They never covered it. And I was in some huge demonstrations in Washington. There were over 100,000 or 500,000 people. You didn't hear a word or see a word. It's for little blips on the back pages of the Washington Post and the New York Times.
Right. And on television, you know, they briefly show a picture for 5 or 10 seconds and then go on to spouting the White House talking points.
And just one more thing. Nancy Pelosi, you know, the woman that took impeachment off the table, which I think was a huge blunder. A couple of years ago, I got to participate at the Democratic convention, the state convention in Sacramento. And at that time, her daughter, who runs interference for her.
That's Christine.
Christine, who's a superdelegate, which bugs the heck out of me, too.
Yeah.
That she's even a superdelegate. It's a little mafia operation. But she did her best to keep universal health care and the war in Iraq, bringing the troops home, out of the platform of the state Democratic Party. And that was Christine Pelosi that did her darndest to just squash the progressive movement in this state. And that's what Nancy Pelosi does. She does her best to keep the progressive voices, and maybe some people think more radical, but I think the more legitimate Party voices squelched. And that's why I would love to see somebody take her out. If it's not Cindy Sheehan, it's that other Democrat, Guglio or something.
Shirley Golub is challenging her in the June 3rd primary.
Right. I would love to see somebody give her a run for her money.
I don't think it's likely, but it would be an important message that certainly would be sent and received. Even if Pelosi's renomination as the Democratic candidate for the 8th district were shaved back to 70 or even 60% by this upstart Shirley Golub.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be surprised if it happens, but I'd love to be surprised by that.
Yeah, at least it would send a message.
Yeah. Thanks, Andy.
All right, Peter, take care.
That's Andy in New York. Ladies and gentlemen, on the Peter B. Collins Show, we often check in with reporter R.J. Schulman, who gets the angles and the quotes that the corporate media just never manages to publish or broadcast. And his news operation is the Post-Times Sun-Dispatch on the web at ptsd1.blogspot.com. R.J. Schulman, welcome to the PBC show today.
Hi, Peter B. How are you doing today?
Well, you always sound so relaxed and well-rested, but you've got a story that couldn't be more than an hour old that's up at your news website right now that really is stunning because you've got the angle that we're not going to hear from Olbermann or Matthews or even the spinners over there on the Fox News Channel. And the headline reads, Bush to publish book saying everything that went wrong was Scott McClellan's fault. This is brilliant, and it's probably true.
That's exactly right. And this book is, at least the working title is called What Happened? Goings On in My White House and Why You Can't Blame It Kate Me.
And this book is authored by the president as told to his pet goat?
That's what's going to be on the title page. That's right.
All right. And as usual, RJ, you give us the verbatim quote from the president, not these scrub things that improve his IQ by 30, 40, or 100 points. And here's the quote. Scotty was the one who outed Valerie Plame, the president writes, and when he told me about her, I told him how shocking it was because she didn't look like a lesbian to me. And all that bad intelligence about Iraq, Bush continued. As everybody knows, you have to be bad at being intelligent to understand bad intelligence, and that's the kind of intelligence that Scott fed to me, knowing that I'm bad at being intelligent. So, of course, I sent our troops to war on Scott's advice. Now, this seems a little heavy, RJ, for the president to try to blame everything on McClellan. I mean, what's next? Katrina was his fault?
Yeah, exactly. There's a section in the book that's going to say that, this is another quote, who could have known that Scotty would break bad news to me about the Crescent City and how much New Orleans means to its home state of Alabama?
Wait a minute. It's Crescent City, and
He says it's the Crescent City.
Okay, well, they misspelled it on a little marker monument that was to commemorate a meeting of Bush and the presidents of Mexico and Canada. They called it Crescent, but they left the second C out. And then he says that New Orleans is part of Alabama? I mean,
he thinks it was part of Alabama.
Hasn't Trent Lott explained that to him?
Isn't Trent Lott from Mississippi? I think that he doesn't really care. I didn't mention his state.
Oh, okay. All right, and then the reason Scotty is trying to make me the pet scapegoat, Bush concludes, is that he is not only a disgruntled employee, but an overgruntled one.
That's been the talking point all day, or for 2 days, that he's disgruntled, but Bush wanted to emphasize it, and he called him an overgruntled employee.
Mm-hmm. Now you've got a quote from Dana Perino, the presidential press secretary. She said that the president's book clearly shows that McClellan was part of the great left-wing conspiracy funded by George Soros and the liberal media. No matter how much pressure they might put on me, Perino continued, I would never tell the truth about the president. Now that's the kind of loyal Bushy we count on.
Yeah, that's what's really been expected, and that's why they're all puzzled and upset that McClellan would not continue doing what he was doing when he was employed.
Mm-hmm. Now, the story that you posted yesterday about the McClellan book is entitled White House Puzzled Over McClellan Book. We taught him to lie. Now he's forgotten how. That's why they're puzzled and saddened?
Yeah, if you notice, and none of their comments do anything other than attack, you know, Scott McClellan. They don't say, oh, he's telling a whole bunch of lies right now. Mm-hmm. They're actually shocked that he's telling the truth, and that's why they have to attack him.
And in this case, you have a juicy quote from the vice president. I'm puzzled by his sudden 180-degree turn, said Cheney. If he was so unhappy while he worked here with us, why didn't he just come out and tell us? I guess I'll have to hear it directly from him when we go on our remote hunting trip next week and have a little face-to-face. Holy cow. Did he really say that?
Yes, he did. And this was a scoop for the Post-Times Sun-Dispatch and now for the Peter B. Collins Show.
Wow. Well, read all about it on the web, ptsd1.blogspot.com. Reporter R.J. Shulman, thanks for joining us.
Great. We'll see you next week.
All right. That's R.J. Shulman, and incredible stuff. Read it for yourself. Again, ptsd1.blogspot.com. Jake in Eureka joins us next. Welcome, Jake. Have some free speech, will you?
All right. Thank you, Peter B. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
We have a couple suggestions for the voters who go out to vote this Tuesday. But first, I have to comment on Scotty McClellan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's really interesting the way truth seems to be defined by the Inside the Beltway pundits. You know, no matter how much evidence was accumulated showing that the Bush administration lied us into an unnecessary war, it only left the realm of left-wing conspiracy theory once an insider Republican like Scotty McClellan admitted to it. You know, it's just interesting how all of this stuff is pretty much already known by most Americans,
yeah.
But the media was only able to call it the truth once Scott McClellan said it was true.
Well, you make a very interesting point, and I think what we're seeing is the elliptical capabilities of corporate media, highly paid pundits. And that is that they can create controversy, generate it, gin it up, feed it in an area that is contained and that does not, cross over into their very well-defined corporate self-interest. And I've been hammering this a little bit. Forgive me if you've heard it too often. But I'm still frustrated that the television networks have not been able to find any mechanism to report on the New York Times disclosures of the generals who were inserted into our media, embedded, if you will, with Donald Rumsfeld's talking points. And they colluded in this. CNN told us how they went to the Pentagon and went over a list of generals and got Rumsfeld's approval on who would come on CNN to sell the war to the American people. And it is so shameful that they can contain this controversy, inside certain boundaries and make sure that it doesn't cross over into these areas that would be not just embarrassing to them, but expose them as people who colluded in these lies and who broke the law or at least enabled the Bush administration to break the law in funneling this propaganda into domestic media.
Well, that's right. I hope you have John Stauber on again sometime soon, because, I mean, the point he makes is crystal clear. It is illegal for the American government to propagandize the American public the way Bush and Cheney have done. You know, it's just simply not allowable in a free society. So speaking of Tuesday's election, Peter B., I'd just like to suggest, as of course you know, last year I was talking about running against Mike Thompson for Congress. My name is Jake Pickering. I'm from Eureka. Fortunately for my sake, another Democrat has stepped forward to run against Mike Thompson in the primary. His name is Mitch Clogg. He's from Mendocino. He's strong on impeachment, on ending the war. He's a progressive. I would suggest that people who are sick and tired of the blue dog Democrats like Mike Thompson consider giving Mitch Clogg their vote on Tuesday. And instead of running for Congress, I'm going to be running for Humboldt County Democratic Central Committee instead. And I would appreciate people's vote. My name is Jake Pickering, and please get out and vote on Tuesday.
All right. Jake, I certainly hope people will support you and Mitch Clogg, too. It's important to send a message, even if Mitch doesn't win. Any percentage that you bring down Mike Thompson's reelection by sends an important message and shows him that there is some vulnerability. And I think it's very important to do that. Thanks for your call, Jake.
Thanks, Peter.
And good luck to you in the election. I hope you win this one.
Hey, thank you very much.
I don't want the local media up there hammering you again.
Oh, hey, by the way, as it turns out, the guy who gave me a hard time about losing the election, Glenn Franco Simmons,
right?
He is the former managing editor of the Eureka Reporter. Rob Barkley got rid of him. He's no longer at the Eureka Reporter.
Wow.
All.
He got Barkley. You know. Well, that's his payback for gloating.
Yeah, I guess it's karma.
All right, Jake, thank you very much. And speaking of karma, would somebody tell Sharon Stone to please sit down and be quiet? She gave an interview, I guess, at the Cannes Film Festival and said that these horrible earthquakes in China are karmic payback for China's hassling and hazing and suppression of the Dalai Lama. Sharon, be quiet, will you please? We'll continue in a moment, and there's room for another caller to 888-5-PETER-B. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Checking traffic on KRXA. Just one accident to report right now for Watsonville, and it's a bad one. Injury crash Hall Road at Elkhorn Road. Two cars apparently overturned. One of them actually went down the roadway and into a ditch, and drivers are trapped inside of that vehicle. Emergency crews just arriving on the scene. Northbound Elkhorn Road has been shut down, and traffic is being diverted off to Werner Road. For Highway 17, Santa Cruz Mountains currently checking and stall an accident. Free, of course, seeing that heavy traffic once you get to the Fish Hook in Santa Cruz with stop-and-go traffic southbound one down into the Aptos area. 68, no stalls and no accidents to report. And southbound 101, heavy traffic leaving South San Jose from Coyote Creek Golf Drive down into the Morgan Hill area. And this is brought to you by Carfax. Do you know that a flood-damaged car is like a ticking time bomb? Nearly half of these flooded cars get fixed up and resold. Ask your dealer for a free Carfax vehicle history report or go to Carfax.com. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
With gentleness overcome anger, with generosity overcome meanness, with truth overcome deceit. These words are from Buddha, and they are some of the most beautiful and powerful words on the planet. They allow us to free ourselves of our anger, our pride, and our sorrow. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am honored to say that I am here on KRXA with my little radio program, Aspire, which is heard on Saturday and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. And I hope that you will join me for a little bit of the uncommon, maybe something outside the box, something that speaks to the truth that lives within you and me. And maybe we will just find that which is the very meaning of our own existence. Please join me Saturday and Sundays at 9 a.m. here on KRXA.
Fritti di Mar Grill in Marina is a delicious haven for lovers of Italian seafood, pasta, and salads at neighborly prices. Owners Tito and Sonia Perez invite you to their new restaurant, Fritti di Mar Grill, for lunch or dinner weekdays and on Saturdays from 4 p.m. Every tasty meal comes with generous portions of Salvadoran warmth. Fritti di Mar Grill is at 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in friendly Marina. Browse to FrittiDiMarGrill.com or call 384-8525.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after The Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. We got this party started, and we're in the free speech zone. You want to call in? There's room for your call, and it'll be a short wait on hold at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. Bob next in Arcata. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Peter B. I'd like to comment on a caller from Humboldt yesterday. After you had a guest on the show for an hour that was talking about something he thought was apparently was very important, why your first caller called in, I thought it was the basis that she called in to complain about gas prices, which had directly connected to what the guest was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would like to inform that caller that riders can take bicycles on the buses here on the...
on the transit?
Yeah, the, mm-hmm. the transit buses have bicycle racks, and to rev it up,
mm-hmm.
because I don't have any sympathy for these gas guzzlers. The higher the prices go, I couldn't care less.
Well,
gasoline.
Well, Bob, but hold on a second. Not everybody can ride a bicycle to work or even use a bus and bicycle to get to work. And there are a lot of families, working families, living paycheck to paycheck, who need to commute to a job that might be 45 minutes from home. I'm thinking of construction workers and other people. And so I've heard a lot of people kind of saying that they're happy that gasoline prices have gone up because they think it will lead to lower consumption. But we've seen that even as the price has almost doubled, that demand has only been trimmed by a little bit. And yes, some people are trading in their gas-guzzling SUVs for higher-mileage cars.
Peter B., outside of California, they call us the gas-guzzlers of the... Outside of California in 49 states, we're called the gas guzzlers. And it's a moniker I can do without. I will concede there are those cases where somebody might have a job in Salinas and live in San Juan Bautista, and they have to drive 20 miles to work. But that's the exception. I think there's a lot, way too many drivers out on the road, even with the gas prices. I haven't seen any changes.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway.
All right, Bob. Well, thank you.
Another quick point.
Real quick, please.
I'm not voting for any of the candidates for president, but I can't see what the problem is with Hillary in a close race continuing her bid for the nomination.
All right, Bob. Well, I'll give you your answer off the air, on the air here. The reason is that it is mathematically no longer possible unless she wins 85% of the remaining primary elections, and that includes Puerto Rico, Montana, and South Dakota. And even if she were able to replicate the margin that she ran up in Kentucky and West Virginia, the allocation of delegates would not change to the point where she could snatch the nomination from Barack Obama. So she is continuing to campaign, continuing, in my view, to divide Democrats. Her friends like Susie Tompkins-Buell in San Francisco with the Women Count PAC are trying to keep alive hopes that really have no basis for life support. And Speaker Pelosi gave an interview to the San Francisco Chronicle, published on Thursday, saying that she expects that next week, after the final primaries on Tuesday, that superdelegates will quickly coalesce around the leader. And I presume that will be Barack Obama. I think that is most likely to be the case. The speaker has to be circumspect because she's chairing the convention, and she is expected to stay neutral until a nominee has been declared or identified. And so I think that's how it's going to play out. Here's a different view from Russell, who listens online in Royal Oak, Michigan. And his email address references the late, great Frank Zappa, which causes me to open his emails all the time. He says, I'm really starting to think Hillary is living with delusions of grandeur about herself, her importance, etc. Or perhaps, and I suspect this is closer to the truth, she somehow feels entitled to the presidency, and if she can't have it, then she'll make sure Obama doesn't get it either. The way she lies and tells half-truths And he cites that by winning popular vote does not incorporate the missing votes from the caucus elections, which, according to Tom Hartman, would have been significant and in Obama's favor. Well, the latest counts show that even if they give her the votes she claims in Florida and the votes that she doesn't deserve in Michigan, she could not win the delegates needed. And claiming that she wins the popular vote, that's an empty claim. It has no meaning. And she wants to make the case by parsing the way her husband did that, you know, the rules don't apply to her, the terms don't apply to her, and she deserves to be president. Let's get a final word from Ken in Arcata. Welcome, Ken. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yeah, hi. One thing I haven't heard mentioned at all is the way that Hillary hanging in the in this race is actually a lot like Bush hanging in Iraq. And it really bothers me to think that we could possibly have a president who is just like Bush from the standpoint that she refuses to see the writing on the wall and refuses to take input and refuses to acknowledge that maybe she's fighting a losing battle and just goes blindly on just like the president is right now.
So Ken, you made a great point. I'm out of time today, but thank you for wrapping up a great free speech zone today. I'm Peter B. Collins. Thanks for listening.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company, which offers more than 60 different wines made with certified organic grapes. Veronique, French wines are intimidating for some American consumers. Mm-hmm. How do you help break it down for us?
Don't be intimidated. What is there to be intimidated about? There's nothing too exotic about them. You either like them or you don't like them. You know, it's really simple. You either like Van Gogh or you don't. You either like the Beatles or you don't. You know, wines are really a form of a vibration in a bottle, just like poetry, just like music. And you know the style of music that you like. So maybe you're going to love French wines. And then go for it.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE toll-free. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
Put these families back.
Willie Jessup, an elder at the polygamous community in El Dorado, Texas, demands quick action by Child Protective Services now that the state Supreme Court has ruled the agency was wrong to remove more than 400 children from the Yearning for Zion Ranch.
If there is an individual concern, deal with it on an individual basis.
Authorities are investigating allegations of physical and sexual abuse, and CBS News correspondent Hari Srinivasan says this does not end the fight.
The Supreme Court's decision isn't a slam dunk for either side, but it is much more favorable to the mothers. They will more likely than not be reunited with their children sometime soon, but the state will likely have much more leeway in figuring out how to monitor those children.
Right now, they're in foster care around the state.
It'll make me powerful, strong, virile. But then again, it may only be a laxative.
Harvey Korman in a sketch from The Carol Burnett Show. Korman died today in Los Angeles 4 months after suffering an aortic aneurysm. He was 81. More from CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman.
Harvey Korman will be best remembered as one of the regulars on the long-running Carol Burnett Show. Korman portrayed wacky, off-the-wall, outrageous characters. His career began in the early 1960s. During the next 40 years, Korman appeared in numerous films and TV shows. On the big screen, Korman starred in a number of Mel Brooks films, including the classic comedy Blazing Saddles. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
More American soldiers are taking their own lives. CBS News correspondent David Martin has that.
The troop surge in Iraq helped stem the violence, but it also produced a surge in Army suicides.
It is increased. It's been going up, not by that much, but by a significant number every year.
115 in 2007, up from 102 the year before. In fact, more than any year since the Army started keeping records. One quarter of the suicides occurred in Iraq or Afghanistan.
Federal regulators confirmed today that they're investigating possible price manipulation in the oil market. Industry analyst John Kilduff says it's no coincidence that oil plunged $4.50 today.
The intent.